Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then filmed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butch. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh my goodness. I don't know what to do first. Should we just jump into the Jets game or should we talk a little bit about the Lions? I think we'll talk a little bit about the Lions game today, but seems like it was a long time ago. And this is Jets week. Jets coming up Monday night. Oh, my goodness. You can't ask for a bigger regular season game. This is it. As I wrote in my edit piece, the One Ring Circus is coming to town. And the clowns are acting like they own the place.
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
You know what I mean by
and not some slap team.
They only have one ring. They have 1969, they won one Super Bowl.
Thanks. Oh, so we're the three-ring circus.
We are the three-ring circus.
Okay. So we're the big top.
We're the big top.
They're the little top.
They got no top. You know? Paul and Andy are here. This is PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. So we got to wrap up the Lions game. We got to talk about the Jets game. There's a ton of stuff going around in the NFL. You know, this whole thing with the Broncos over the weekend. Obviously, the Patriots name got bandied about and disrespected as usual. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And anything else that's on your mind at webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
That's the Ace Ticket Hotline.
That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Guys, you just came from the locker room. What's going on in there?
A lot.
Really?
No.
No?
No. I was just excited because I spoke with... Who's a player, Fred, near the bottom of the roster that you've heard nothing about, that you may have had high hopes for, that you might want to hear from this week?
Who's a player that I heard nothing about that's at the bottom of the roster that I had high hopes for that I want to hear something from? Jeez, that I heard nothing about that I had high hopes for. Taylor Price.
Ding, 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 ding. I spoke for 5 minutes or so in a wide-ranging interview exclusively with Patriots Football Weekly for a Pulse German to work on, but kind of considering this a redshirt year. Doesn't sound like he's getting a lot of reps working with the offense in practice, a lot of scout team stuff, and he said that's where I need to prove myself right now, and leaning heavily on Welker and Branch to try to pick up everything they do in terms of his route running. But it doesn't sound like, unless, you know, there's a couple injuries or something, doesn't sound like he's really thinks he's in the mix moving forward this season. Redshirt year.
All right.
See him in September.
And Paul?
A lot of Jets talk, obviously. A lot of Rex Ryan talk. And then depending on which side of the ball the players were on, you know, I could talk to Deion Branch for a while. I was in on a huge group around him. A lot of talk about Revis and Cromartie. And if he, whether or not Deion went back, how much he looked at that first game and saw how the defense played against Moss and how he thinks it might be different, you know.
Yeah.
Hard to answer those questions. Obviously, Branch did watch a lot of tape on that game. But as he said, it's hard to know what the game plan will be, even for us attacking them, or how the Jets are going to go about covering them, because there's a big part of the puzzle that wasn't there.
Would you match up if you're the Jets with anyone? Revis on someone?
I don't know their personnel well enough to know this, but if Revis can take Welker in the slot, then I would match up.
I think whoever gets Cromartie is a mismatch that favors the Patriots. I think he's a longer, less quick, less change of direction guy.
I agree with that.
So I was just wondering if you just say, we're just going to play sides, Revis left, you know, take away half the
field. That's probably what the Jets are going to do.
But even Revis, I mean, going back to training camp, we saw those drills when, you know, it's one-on-one, you know, and it's really hard for any cornerback, linebacker, whoever, to keep up with one receiver on a quick, short route, because the receiver knows where he's going, the cornerback is reacting, and it's kind of easy to get open as long as a quarterback is quick with his throw and accurate. So even Revis on a short route is going to have trouble covering either Branch or Welker.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, but
I think he's
good
too. But I think even the best, right?
If I'm the Jets, I'll give those up.
You'll give those up. You're going to give him those, right?
Oh yeah. If you want to catch a little 3-yard pass,
you just have to tackle.
He's going
to
be in his pocket.
Right. The key to that for any defense is your ability to tackle. Right. Now the Lions couldn't tackle the other day.
Right.
And you know, Welker looked like Welker because he was breaking tackles and pushing guys into the field. Now we obviously saw what happened to Alphonso Smith. He was a disaster all day. And to his credit, by the way, took total blame.
Yep.
I have rarely seen a guy accept responsibility for a loss to that level that Alphonso Smith did. I almost felt bad for him.
Yeah.
The way he talked after the game. But it's definitely a great sign for the Patriots the way that they are coming on with those two guys. Welker and Branch are more resembling themselves the last 2 weeks, and that's got to be a great sign going forward.
Not to mention Gronkowski.
Well, Gronk, I think, has been pretty consistent.
But he's been more red zone. Like, now I just feel like he's a solid tight end. He's kind of what I thought he was going to be, whereas earlier in the year I didn't think he was quite as consistent. You're now ho-hum. It's, what did he have, 5 for 55, 65. I think that's what he is, you know, with a touchdown in the red zone when he needs it, whatever, you know, a pass down the seam where he gets you 20-plus on one play. I think he has developed nicely over the course of this season, whereas Hernandez has been a little bit more quiet of late. I think Gronkowski is settling into that role of, I'm a traditional tight end. I can block for you. I can catch in the red zone. I can go down the seam if you need me to. This is what I am.
Other than Revis coming out and saying the Jets will win the game, there hasn't been a lot of trash talk coming from the Jets. The Jet Stream, that's one of the places that cover the team.
That's being a jackass.
that was well played.
Says that the Jets players are very Belichickian so far this week.
Their coach wasn't.
Yeah, well,
he started like last Friday, so it might have even been post-game.
But the coach is just acknowledging that it's a big game.
I know.
Even for him,
but
he's been
the men to do it. It's tough to go up there and beat them at their place, but we're the group of men to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
you don't have
confident.
To say that.
He's
we know
bra-
you believe
he's,
your team can win.
He's brash and confident, but I think he's toned it down for
a
him.
A little bit.
For him. Now, for Belichick, that would be front page, you know, 50-point type. But that's not... You know, for Ryan, I think he's been. I agree with Fred. I think he's been pretty tame
for him. Yeah,
so for him,
we'll see
big
if
there,
anything comes out. You know,
nothing will come out from
Revis.
This
said end. That there's no slouches on the Patriots now that Randy Moss is gone. That you know, he called Moss a slouch, but now that he's gone, there are no slouches on the Patriots. I guess
what's
was,
a slouch?
Someone who doesn't
not
play hard. By the way, speaking
well, that,
of
see,
that,
you guys just gave me two different answers.
What did you
if
say?
If it's somebody who
not
didn't play
good.
Hard, I agree with him. If it's somebody who's not very good, I think there might still be some slouches.
Someone who isn't good isn't good, but someone who doesn't play to his ability is a slouch.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I thought,
like
I
Randy
thought,
Moss in Tennessee.
Did
you see that play in the end zone?
Great catch, homie.
Randy Moss?
No.
They throw the ball up to him. The guy's got him covered. Doesn't even look for the ball. Doesn't even jump. Just kind of walks off the play. Because the guy had him, I could not believe it.
Was Rusty accurate?
Oh, no. Did you see some of the throws he had?
Well, whether or not he was, I mean, he didn't even make an attempt for the ball.
So now we're going to do this. We're just going to rip Boston.
No, I just...
Two teams later.
This guy, he doesn't understand what he has in front of him. That's the problem with him. Whether it's here, in minute... All right, you know, so let's not get...
Thank you.
But I just...
We have plenty of other things to talk about. You two want to start fighting about McSpygate or whatever they're calling it?
We'll talk about that a little bit.
That's not what I heard from this side.
Well, no.
From what side?
I'll kind of tease it, but Paul thinks that McDaniels...
So does Andy.
And I disagree. I don't think McDaniels...
You didn't say anything. You just said Paul
thinks
McDaniels.
Well, I don't believe McDaniels, and you don't believe McDaniels. Fred does.
I think McDaniels... I have defended him roundly in the past as a solid guy, a good coach. I'm off that boat. I think this was despicable. I think he found a guy to railroad. He railroaded him. I lost a lot of respect for Josh in this. This isn't a football move to me.
Yeah.
This is a leadership man move, and he failed.
Yeah. I don't really care whether or not he gets fired. This isn't in defense of Josh McDaniels. I just think the facts are he didn't look at the tape. That's all I'm saying.
Why?
Because it'd be too easy for...
No. Why did he not? I believe that he did not look at the tape.
Oh, okay.
I agree.
So then you agree with me.
No. Because I think what happened was Steve Scarnecchia came and said, I taped this, and Josh Price said, well, what's on it? And Steve said, well, really not that much. It was like six plays. Because all reports are the 49ers indicated that they did everything in a ballroom because there were so many people around, they weren't doing it on the field.
Right.
And Josh said, well, there's no value in that, so I'm not going to look at it. I don't think he didn't look at it because he's this magnanimous sportsmanship
guy. Maybe I'll agree with that. You know,
he didn't look at it because there was no value in it.
We're not having any arguments. I think we're all in agreement.
But I just think that anything that...
Somebody told me to get ready for a good show because he was going to do battle with Paul.
Well, if that's... because I thought...
I'm not going to get in an argument.
Come on now.
I think it's despicable cheating. I mean, if that's what we're going to argue about, then we can argue. But other than that... I have no respect for Josh McDaniels, and I agree with what you said. I did have a lot of respect when he left here. I don't anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because of just this or other things?
Well, the whole way he's carried himself has been hard to defend him, but I've tried to.
Well,
I've tried to see his side of things along the way. This, to me, pushes him over the
top. And there's too many people who are now kind of, you know, whispering that he treats people like crap over there. And
I don't think
he's earned the right to treat anyone.
No, he hasn't. But even that is Belichickian. You learn your first time through.
But he's
coaching.
Not Bill Belichick.
They're all doing it.
But neither was Bill Belichick in Cleveland.
But they're not Bill Belichick.
And Bill Belichick wasn't Bill Belichick then, and that's why he was a colossal failure.
And he got fired for it.
Right. And that's what's going to happen to all these guys. It happened to Crennel. Well, Crennel's not really a good example. It happened to Mangini. It's going to happen to McDaniels. It happened to Weiss at Notre Dame. That's what these guys are all doing. They're all being Belichick.
But this is
without
a bigger issue than any of that crap.
This is cheating.
To me, it's not even about the cheating or the event. It's about a personal relationship with a guy, and you threw him under the bus. He's supposedly your friend. He's a coworker. You've been in multiple situations. I just think this is about him being a man and another man. To me, this is despicable.
But what could have McDaniels done?
I don't know.
Somebody,
I don't know exactly.
Somebody in the Broncos squealed on.
See, the only thing
take full responsibility. Say he works under me. So if anyone's held responsible, it's me. I don't think he did that. I don't think he said, you know what? I am ultimately the. Does Bill Belichick not ever? I mean, he says that 1,000 times a year. Ultimately, it's about me. It leads to
basically
me.
You're saying if McDaniels is going to do the right thing at the time he was given the tape, he should have fired him.
No, I'm saying, well. That aside, I'm saying after the tape.
Well, no, but he, in order to be to the standard you're asking, he should have fired Scarnecchia right then and there.
If he was really, like you say, scot-free, then yeah, he would have.
Yeah.
But he knows this is going on because it's an environment that he fostered. He may not have said, Steve, go tape this.
But he knows.
But he knows that that guy knows if he gets the opportunity, that's what he's to do. This is the only thing that you and I disagree on.
But the bigger issue, to me, from Patriots' perspective, is the reports from Jay Glazer that Josh then on Friday went to his staff and says, you know, this isn't what we do. This was a rogue employee, a one-time thing. It's not like in New England where it was practiced, prepared, blah, blah, blah. What does that do? Because we all joked, you know, Josh McDaniels will be back here as your offensive coordinator next year after he gets fired. Is that door still open? And I would guess no. I don't know. But those comments, to me, are not going to sit kindly with the head coach here. Even though he's really just focused on the Jets.
I think Shalise Manza Young, in one of her tweets after that, said it best. Bridge torched. You know, that bridge is torched.
That was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
But he didn't say it. He told Peter King he didn't mean to. He backtracked.
You know, you're making excuses now. It's the whole everybody does it excuse.
Because I don't think he's being genuine.
He's so far over his head, it's not even funny.
Well, I think so.
Personnel-wise, coaching-wise,
you guys made
everything.
Fun of me, but this all goes back to the fist pump after we beat them. I mean, after they beat us.
And I'll continue to make fun of me. That's stupid.
I make fun of that, but you were ultimately right.
No.
We talked about this on Monday. You were ultimately right. We should talk about it on the radio. You didn't think the guy was what he was appearing to be.
Right.
Yes.
And I think
you were right on that. 100% right. Fred Kirsch, right again.
All right. So then we're not in disagreement there.
No.
All right. So getting back to, let's go back to Thanksgiving.
I just don't believe the whole rogue employee story. You do. That's the only part that we disagree on.
I just think that.
I think it's an environment that was fostered there.
Well, then that's going to come out. Because Skarnecki, in my mind, Skarnecki has no reason to cover up for Josh McDaniels at this point.
First of all, he has nothing to gain either way.
He's a guy with an axe to grind.
Right.
He's already going to, it sounds like he's going to be banned from the league.
Well, I just want to.
Multiple time offender.
I just want to at least protect my own credibility here and say that I wasn't a rogue employee, if that is in fact the case.
But your credibility in this industry, in this environment, is already shot.
I just think that McDaniels will be able to have plausible deniability that you can say, I didn't tell him to tape the San Francisco 49ers walkthrough in London. Whereas Skarnecki knows full well that that's what he was encouraged to do wherever he gets, whenever and wherever he gets the opportunity to do so. That's what I'll believe until the day I die. I believe that that's what they do. That's what these coaches talk about. That's the environment that the culture that they're around is any advantage is legal.
No.
And that's what they do.
Tim in Baltimore says, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I had a question related to the recent resurrection of Spygate. I understand how having a tape of a team's walkthrough gives your team an advantage, and that is cheating. But how does taping a team's defensive signals help? Assuming the teams change or hide their signals every game, how does having tape of the team's signals that they were used a year ago help your game plan? The only thing I can think of is that it can confirm what defensive calls were made during the game. Was that the goal? Yeah, I think that was part of it, what the Patriots were doing.
And they don't change them all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches use similar or the same signals, or they use them for specific blitzes or specific whatevers.
Right.
I mean, anyone who's been out to a Patriots practice has heard the same words from Tom Brady, Omaha, Frisco, various things. They use them year after year after year. And Bill has as much said that, you know, coordinators. When he plays a coordinator, he has books on guys because they do the same things from stop to stop, team to team.
Sure.
So there is a value in it. Don't tell me there's no value in it.
There had to be a value in it because after they were told to stop in 06, they kept doing it. So why would you keep doing it, you know? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. So getting back to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Tough half. I have a theory. I know you guys are going to laugh at me.
No, you've been right
a
lot lately.
I think that the game plan offensively in the first half was
to get Tom Brady hit.
No, it wasn't that. But it was to call such plays that, you know, did force defensive linemen to run around the field. Obviously, you wanted to protect a little better than they did. But to get those guys running early, you know, not necessarily go out and establish the run, to pass the ball early, get these guys running, because based on what they've seen in prior games this year, they knew they couldn't play 60 minutes. And I think it bore out. I think in the second half, those Lion defensive linemen particularly were tired.
I think the Patriots just changed the way they played in the second
half. Once they got them tired.
I don't know what the Detroit Lions conditioning was. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think the Patriots played better in the second half.
I did too.
And they blocked. They didn't block anybody in the first
but
half.
But don't you think that the play calling in the second half was more quick, quick drops?
And, yeah. I don't think it was easier to block.
Yeah. But I think
they changed their game plan because they couldn't handle the pass rush.
But I also think that these linemen were tired. They were less effective against the run. They were less effective all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment on the conditioning of the Detroit Lions. I don't know if Ndamukong Suh was tired in the second half. I do know the Patriots played much better in the second half, and they blocked. They didn't block in the first half. Guys were coming in.
It was execution.
Guys were coming in on screen passes completely untouched. I know you're supposed to, you know, kind of make the appearance of luring guys in, but Brady was taking rocket shots on screens in the first half.
If that was the game plan, I don't really care to make him a crash test dummy.
They weren't blocking in the first half. They blocked in the second half, and Brady was unbelievable.
Well, he was actually good in the first half, too. His numbers were good in the first half. Despite taking those hits, he was had a pretty good first half.
Well, that's why I think this was very different than the Cleveland game.
Like that.
I think this was a battle. I think the Detroit Lions came out to fight. I didn't think the Patriots made all these mistakes and laid down like in Cleveland. I thought Cleveland,
they got run over, whereas
I think in Detroit, they went punch for punch, and then they're the better team. They pulled away as the game wore on.
Right, the turnovers allowed Cleveland to have a 10-point lead at half.
Right.
In Cleveland.
But I just didn't think
in any way that the
Patriots showed up to play in Cleveland. I think they showed up to play in Detroit, and they got a first-half fight. They had a fight on their hands.
They had a fight for the better part of three-plus
And then they
quarters.
Made the plays because they're the better team. They have the better coach. Right. They have the better quarterback.
And the game was tied going into the fourth quarter. I think we forget that because they won by 21 points.
Right.
But it was a tie game going into the fourth quarter.
That's why I think they were two very different games. Even though a lot of players talked about, I wrote about it, remember Cleveland. Well, yeah, you were losing, and it was a first half, but it wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same.
It was different.
No, Cleveland was an ass-kicking from the whistle to the whistle. Whistle to whistle.
The Patriots played better.
From the whistle until the whistle.
The Patriots played better while losing than they did in Cleveland while losing.
Oh, yeah.
God, yeah.
Detroit played better. I mean, give Detroit some credit. I know that it's a huge cliche because they never seem to win it. They're 2-9 now in their last 11 Thanksgiving games. But that's a big game for them, and they came out as such.
Look,
and listen, they got some bad breaks along the way in that game. That pass interference call was
Woodhead?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a huge play. A huge play. The Lions might have been able to go in with a 17-3 lead at half of that game, if not for that call.
It was a strange call on third and six or something like that.
It was a wheel route to Woodhead.
To throw a little fade to the shortest guy in the field. You think that Woodhead and Brady said something in the huddle like, he's grabbing me on every play, just throw it up and we'll get a flag?
I'm not so sure he grabbed him on that play.
I think he did.
I'm not surprised.
Well, no one on the Lions were upset about it.
They went ballistic.
Oh, no. That was a good call.
It was right in front of their bench.
I guess it was in favor of the Patriots, so it wasn't a good call.
I guess we'll just be sarcastic and not analyze it.
We're
going to
get our fight, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
I thought it was a good call.
We're not going to get our lunch.
It was close.
He was almost spun around.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. All right. So anything else coming out of the Lions game that we need to cover up on?
As Paul is noting in his Perlow's points on PFW, Devin McCourty now seems to be...
And which, if you saw any other part of the show, you saw them all covered completely.
Paul's mad because we stepped on his points in other aspects of the show. but Devin McCourty is now a lot of chatter that Rookie of the Year. You may have had a Rookie of the Year matchup with Sue and McCourty, and he had a couple picks, now has five. What is it, eight for Haynes is the rookie record?
I think if he continues
eight.
And has a few more, I think... right now, if the season end, I think you'd give it to Sue.
And he'll benefit from being on the 9-2 team that's going to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and if he makes maybe one more play that's key in a game at some point in the next five, he's got a good chance to win it.
But,
which, by the way, is a long stride for him from, he's a special teamer who no one wanted.
Exactly.
Well,
which was wrong.
I'm glad that
wasn't
you brought
true,
that up.
But
I'm glad you brought that up because now it's time for a Pauly rant.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
I wish I had a sandwich to chew on while he ranted.
We were all... And when I say we all, I'm talking about this show, Eric included.
We
were all surprised that they took a cornerback, correct?
Not necessarily.
Let me know if you guys disagree with any of this, because I don't want to rant for you. But we're all surprised they took a cornerback.
Sure.
We all were very well aware of Devin McCourty.
Well.
And he was a late round.
Mine
late
is a
first,
matter of public record.
Late first round pick.
I went 23
correct?
Players deep on my big board of 20 players. I included three extras, and he was among them. So I had him among the 23 best players in the draft.
But for us.
So I think he slipped. You got good value at 27.
We thought he was
my
a late first round pick candidate, and PFW if the Patriots
blog.
Chose to go that way, would be among a handful of guys they'd be interested. And by the way, coincidentally, a guy we're going to see on Monday night, Kyle Wilson, was another one that we thought, if they went that way, would be a candidate. Right?
Cornerback.
A cornerback.
Right.
Okay. I was very surprised that they took a cornerback. Never for a second did I or Andy or Eric or Fred think they took a special teamer in the first round.
No, that was the mainstream media that was way off base.
But that's what's being being portrayed
because
now. We were
the
all
pick
wrong.
Happens.
No,
the first
we
thing they do is they run to the Pro Football Weekly book, they open up and it says great special team player, and that's all they know.
But he was included in the top corners.
Yes.
He was neck and neck with Kyle Wilson.
Everybody had him as a late
first round
pick. For
guys that did pre-research, but for guys that are just learning that day.
But I'm talking about those books, Fred. They all had them.
So now we just read one sentence and ignore the rest? I mean,
those books had Devin McCourty as a late first round pick. He wasn't a reach in the late first round. No. I was surprised they took a cornerback because I thought they needed other areas more.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
I didn't think they took a bad player. I was curious with the position.
Cornerback.
Yes.
Brett's we know a good straight man for you. He just injects one word every 5 minutes. Cornerback.
Rant over.
Okay. So who are you mad at?
Have you been listening to any
of
this?
No, I know, but who's saying
just
that?
Just a lot of people.
Name names.
Now, Dale Arnold.
Now you're specifically mad that people are saying
yesterday.
We were wrong.
Oh, even once though, again, Bill was right and we were wrong.
Okay. Well, we were right if you listen to PFW.
I mean, what was he right about? We were surprised he took a cornerback. We weren't surprised he took the player.
Nice goes, package bear.
And he said something like, well, you know, and he and Michael Holly were talking. Actually, Holly was kind of on our side, not defending us personally, but more on our side. He's like, no, Dale, that's not really – I mean, a lot of people – he played for Rutgers, so right. Some people weren't familiar with him. But it's a good program with a coach that Belichick is very familiar with. The pick made a lot of sense.
Right.
He tends to stick with guys that he knows a lot
he
about.
He trusts their judgment.
Right. So I just – this whole notion of they picked a special teamer in the first round. They didn't take a special teamer in the first round.
No.
And anybody who thought that was being foolish.
Or just
and
being
by
a
the
jerk.
Way, and
ignorant.
By the way,
yes. Yeah, just being wise ass.
By the way, he's a great special teams player.
Yeah.
A great
showed
special
that the
teams
other day.
Player.
Yep. So
didn't he have one right after the...
He had a play on a kickoff that was a long kickoff return.
It was right after the pick, the touchdown.
He came back. The guy, Stephon Logan, broke back toward the near side. And he stayed home as he was the outside guy, sort of the not a safety, but he had his outside responsibility. You want to make sure you don't venture too far in. And he was right there, turned him back in and stopped him.
I was actually thinking like the old baseball cliche. How often do you see a guy make a great play in the field and then he leads off the next inning at bat? It was kind of the same thing. He makes a pick, then he comes out on special teams and makes a great play.
But it wasn't Danny Woodhead who did it, so we didn't have to have a celebration about it after the game.
What did Danny Woodhead do?
He's on his list. What
Steve,
can I say?
The Steve Burton thing. Good. Do you remember making the tackle? I love Woodhead.
Oh, yeah.
I was there. I didn't black out. I didn't black out or anything. That was actually a pro Danny Woodhead thing. It was more of an anti. It was continuation of the anti-media rant.
Speaking of, special teams, if we are going to nitpick a little bit.
We don't do that. That's what Rook does.
I think kickoff coverage was
terrible.
Shoddy.
Terrible.
You know, really
that's an issue.
They didn't give up any scores, but, I mean, letting these guys start over the 35, 40-yard line consistently, I wasn't too
especially
crazy
for
about
a defense that needs all the help it
they
can
need
get.
The help. Right?
Put us at the 18. Put us at the 22. Don't put us at the 32, the 35, the 37.
They got over the 30 on almost every one. I think there was one that they didn't go over the 30, and there was one or two that got over the 40.
Now, is this a result of Graham? I mean, his kicks are not quite as long
That's what everybody's saying, but I just think the kick coverage has been shoddy.
But it
all
could be also, it's not just, you know, he is getting it inside the five, but at a lower angle than Guskowski. It doesn't give the guys enough time to get down there.
His kickoffs are not as good. There's no question. Yeah. There's no debate of that, but. I don't think that's the only issue. I agree with Paul. I think some of the coverage has been an issue all year. And I think some of it, I talked about this on the TV show, they don't have the same kind of veteran talent covering kicks like they've always had. You know, Tracy White is a guy. I guess Matthew Slater is now going into that mold. But you don't have Gerard Cherry and Larry Izzo and Sam Aiken and these veteran core You
but
have
they
a lot
were
of guys
good at the
like,
beginning of the year.
See, they weren't.
I think
sure
they were.
They either got a touchback or the other team got a decent return. C.J. Spiller returned one for a touchdown.
They had returns
right
for touchdowns
in week three.
I think it's a roster.
Gostkowski was getting a lot of touchbacks, and people weren't noticing
that
the kick coverage wasn't good.
I think it's more the kicker than you guys think it is.
No, I don't, because when they were returning them, they were returning them.
It's the coverage.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
about
the issue is they don't have the same type of talent. They have a lot of young bodies who, A, may be getting tired because they're all playing on defense too, and I think that's a tough thing to do.
They might have to go to the type of kickoffs that the Browns were using against us, where it's higher, shorter.
The mortar?
Yeah, give guys time to get down there and
cover.
Bill
called them mortar kicks one day, so now I call them mortar
kicks.
They go high and like mortar shots.
You figure if he can.
He did in a transcript. I even
I
checked
said,
the transcript
okay.
to make
I never
sure
thought
I got
of it. I don't know what mortar would be.
Well, that's what he calls them. So it's, you know, it's like the star. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they're not suited to play on the outside. They play the star.
Yeah, I don't fall into that one either.
You know, the X, the Y, and the Z.
Yeah.
If I knew them, I'd use them.
All right, so game over.
Slot corner, nickelback. That's fine with me. I don't need the star.
Patriots end up putting 45 points up on the Lions. That's good to see the team given the weekend off, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And Monday.
Monday was kind of a check-in day as far as Brady
check
was.
With me.
And they're all professionals. As Brady said, he's watching film. I'm sure some of the corners brought film home.
Right.
Just because it's a day off doesn't mean they're not at all looking ahead and preparing.
Now, but today, usually on Tuesdays is a day off.
Right.
But they're here today.
Yes. And they're practicing.
And they're practicing. So
maybe in full pads. I thought I heard somebody yell, Chico, we in full pads?
So he goes,
I don't know.
They actually are picking up an extra day, even though it's a Monday night game.
Maybe.
You know?
I don't know how their schedule is. Unless,
well, they're practicing Saturday, too.
But they're also, I mean, today may just be Monday where they're doing review of the Lions game and getting little stuff done.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is a big
what I'm saying is they
game
don't,
plan implementation.
If you look
day.
At the whole week, they didn't get a true day off.
Right.
True day off.
Sure.
You know? Because usually it's Wednesday is.
Except for they did get the whole weekend off.
Right.
No, as far as this week. Right. As far as this week goes.
Yeah, Sunday is this week.
But I'm also a big believer that you don't want them preparing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think they're creatures of habit. I think that is as bad as days off. They all of a sudden they're peaking for Saturday, and the game's still 2 days away. I don't think
especially
that's good
with a really, really big game.
I mean,
this
I think Brady
this is a special game.
Brady watching film, doing whatever he needs, whatever. Some of these guys, but I don't think you want Kyle Arrington.
I love the Patriots in this game, by the way.
If you're Bill Belichick,
the more I think about it, the more I love
him. And the coaches, do you encourage the notion that this is kind of a bigger game, or do you really want to? Just it's like every other week. Do you want to use the big game to your advantage, or could that be a disadvantage?
It's a big game. I don't think you go over the top with it.
Privately, I think it's a big game. Publicly, I think you do what you always do. You
downplay. Big one, because it's the next one.
It's like when
it's the Jets. It's a division game. Those are always more important.
It's like
but,
when I don't know if you caught Dungy and Rodney on Sunday. They were talking about you know, and I think Dungy said and Coach Belichick to us. You know, he'll be saying it's just another game, but you can believe behind closed doors, the ramifications of the game are going to be there for everybody.
But I think Bill always admits that division game are
division
more important.
Games are more
he
important.
Always and he admits, the Jets are something special, blah blah blah, the rivalry here. He'll admit that. I don't think he'll go to the point where you and I went on the TV show and said,
"No.
You have to win this to be the number one seed to go to the Super Bowl. If you don't win this, you're done."
Right, right. No. But I will state for the record, as of Tuesday,
must win game.
I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game.
Which means don't expect Fred to edit the paper if they lose, because he's done.
I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game. I will be distraught if we lose this game.
I know people don't want this to happen, but you might want to, if they happen to lose, you might want to check Wednesday's show and just to see if.
Oh,
or the final few minutes of Kershaw.
I will realize in terms of the big picture. Obviously, there's a lot of football left.
It's time.
But I don't want to lose to these Jets. And I was about to swear. I don't want to lose to these Jets. This game, this is a matter of pride. It has nothing to do with Super Bowl chances or anything like that. It has to do with losing to the dadgum Jets on that Yahoo report.
Yahoo report.
Well, Singletary said, this isn't about the dadgum Yahoo. Remember that rant that he had?
The rat. There's a rat
the rat
building.
Early in the year. Yeah. Who he promoted to coordinator, right?
Yeah. So, I'm just saying right now, I'm going to take this hard if they lose. But I don't think
You'll take it hard, all right.
Yeah.
Can't take it limp.
Gee, why do you have to go there?
That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, but I didn't say
I know. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number on the Ace Ticket hotline.
No, he's right there.
No, I know, but when I couldn't see him, I just assumed that's where he was. I
mean, you guys really struggle with that paper.
Health-wise, I think the Patriots came out of the Lions game pretty good. Mike Wright didn't play, had the concussion. Don't know if he'll be back. Will Height. Fred Taylor was active, but he didn't play, so that
Bill said he could have.
Taylor and Jared Page.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll be ready for this game.
Neal. How long do you wait on him before he starts to become an issue? Maybe he goes to IR.
It's 3 weeks now, right?
I don't know.
Five to go.
Yeah.
He'll go down at any time, even if you can get him to return, if he's held together with tape and gum.
Well, I would say if he's not ready this week, then you have to make that move, because you can see the third game being so close, the Thanksgiving game. You give him an extra one. Now you have 11 days to wait. If he's not ready now, I think you got to pull the plug.
Yeah,
he's not that important that you wait.
I don't think so. Do you?
I don't know.
I think he's.
Well, what are you giving up by having him stick around?
Better player.
Remember
than
the
Dan
Super
Conley.
Bowl? Everybody said when he went down the injury, the poop hit the fan.
He's a significantly better player than Dan Conley to me. I'm not saying I'm not diminishing. I just think
so. You don't wait.
It's the state of the shoulder that I'm making the decision on.
Obviously, if it's a medical decision, but if there's a chance.
Is he not valuable enough to be one of your eight that's inactive to wait?
Well,
to
I mean,
wait,
I suppose you wait as long as you can in terms of what else you have available. I mean, you have healthy guys that aren't playing. You have Taylor and Page last week that didn't play. That's rare in an NFL game. The only guys that usually do not get into the game is the backup quarterback.
Right.
Everybody usually plays that dresses. And you had two guys that did not play.
If we could take them all, we would.
Right.
And
that's,
we'd find roles
for
them.
Well, do you think
you took 45 and you couldn't
find
roles for two of them.
I mean, do you think that, you know, I know they don't like to look ahead, but they figured we're not going to use Taylor unless we have to because that Jets game is on the horizon.
I don't think they needed him in the game and they didn't use him, but I don't think it was necessarily something they thought about going into the game. You know, we're not going to use him today unless we have to, you know. Just I don't think the situation called for it.
Benny, I mean, had a decent day, 58 yards, a couple touchdowns.
And they threw the ball. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they had the
quarterback. No, but I'm saying, even
perfect.
In the limited role you had for the running back, he was fulfilling it.
Right.
So you didn't need to go a different direction there.
Okay. All right. So health-wise, they're looking pretty good.
Health-wise, they are looking very good.
For the most part, you know.
Yeah, they have a couple guys nicked up here and there. But
you'd like to have
part,
Wright. You'd like to have Will Hite.
Yeah.
Jets
the
same
like
way.
All your players.
You know, they're looking pretty good health-wise.
Yeah, the Jets and Patriots both have been similar in that regard. I think you're right about that.
Coincidence that they're 9-2 in the top of the division?
You know, they have some injuries that they deal with. Like, you know, Woody's got a sprained MCL, but he played through it, Damian Woody.
Yep.
A couple other guys. They're without Jenkins. You know, we're without Ty Warren.
Right. Early IRs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's very similar, I think, injury-wise, and Andy's right. No coincidence that they're both 9-2.
Is Tomlinson still got the burst that we saw early, or is he starting to plateau a little bit?
Thought he looked good the other night.
I think he's looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure. What's the weather?
It's too early. It's in New England, Andy. We had no idea.
Wait a minute.
Well, I think if it's 32 degrees and crappy, you'll see him look a little
slower.
But
I don't know.
I think he's like Randy Moss. Yeah. I think he's soft as can be. He doesn't like the cold weather. He doesn't want to play in the cold. He's had a lot of carries this year, and if he can see his breath and see some snow, it won't be good for the Jets.
I do think he looks a little bit more bulked up this year for some reason. I don't know why.
Why are you saying it like that? Is he on the Peyton Hillis plan or something?
Perhaps.
What plan is that, Paul?
You know, maybe he's found the fountain of youth.
I don't think he will if it's cold and crappy. I think he'll turtle because that's what he does.
Still wearing that stupid visor.
Doesn't he have a vision problem?
Does he?
I think so.
That's the only way you're allowed to wear them.
Oh, really? Oh,
well, I thought that was the rule, but now I see more of them. Like, do Spikes have a vision problem? Or is he just preparing for retaliation?
Mary Beth in Syracuse says, how would you like to live in New York, upstate where the blankety-blank Jets have their training camp? Let me repeat this sentiment. I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game either. Well spoken.
I thought that line by Freddie would resonate.
No, I'm not. This is more than a game to
is
the fans.
Tell us where lunch is.
About 28 degrees on Monday night.
Thank you.
Yeah, what about lunch?
We think.
What about
got an
lunch?
ETA on that?
For all we know, it could snow.
No, it's coming. We had a meeting upstairs, so I couldn't order it way ahead of time like I usually do.
I don't know.
You happen to see that pick that Aqib Talib had in the Tampa Bay game? It's a pretty good play now.
And then he got high.
Probably.
All right. Got emails coming in. Phone calls. I don't know. Phone's not ringing. No. People are too busy.
No phone
don't
calls
do
today.
That.
It's been
now
quiet.
Somebody's going to call with the sympathy call, and Paul will get into a fight with them.
Paul doesn't like the calls.
I know.
So we'd rather just go with emails.
He doesn't mind the calls. It's the callers we have a distaste for.
You guys are idiots.
We have plenty of emails to keep us going, and we're going to get to those right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day.
whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Lively talk. We wrapped up the Thanksgiving Detroit Lions game. We're talking about the Jets, as everybody in New England and New York are talking about. It is the game of the season, maybe the game of these early decade when you talk about regular season games. You know? I don't know. Alex from Georgia says, great game on Thursday. Glad the Patriots were able to play it. Well, it's early, I say.
That's my point. So it's the best game in the first 11 weeks of the decade.
Great game on Thursday. Glad the Patriots were able to play it out tough in the second half. I have a question for Andy.
Yeah.
I heard the post-game press conference with Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, and heard Andy ask a question. Bill's response was something like, well, Andy, they get their hands on a lot of balls. How hard did you have to fight it and not crack up? And how many people looked at you when Bill answered that question to see what kind of reaction you would give?
I'm in professional mode at that point.
Andy was too excited because Bill said Andy in his answer.
Taking a 1-0 lead in the PFW contest.
He does. It's a 1-0 lead.
Eric not happy.
Strippers lets us know that
no,
LT...
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Actually,
I got a new one this week if you want to go get it.
LT is actually subject to sudden seizures from heavy sunlight, and that is the reason he wears a 70% tinted visor. The NFL only allows a 20% tinted visor unless a valid medical reason is provided.
Oh, so anybody can wear a visor. It's the tint level?
You can have a clear level. One. Okay, that's good. Once again, our emailers are on top of it. So your caller wouldn't have been able to provide that information.
Why do I
emailers
now, having made fun of Tomlinson and his visor, why do I still not feel bad about making fun of him?
I make fun of the player, the person.
He's one guy that, oh, you find out something about a guy, and it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't made fun of him. I still don't care if I made fun of him.
Like me with the fat kid.
But you make fun of him because of the visor, or because he sits on the sideline and doesn't play in the
UFC Championship game? Well, we just made fun of him because of the visor.
I thought we were just making fun of him because he's...
We were just making fun of him because he turtles in cold weather.
Dan,
soft as a...
That's why I'm making fun of him.
Dan in Hopkinton says, what are your suggestions for strategy this week, specifically regarding stopping the Jets' offense? Overall, it seems to me that most of the time when Sanchez is in trouble, he dumps it off to LT. I see it over and over. LT comes up to block or fake block, releases 5 to 6 yards, makes a catch, and turns it up for another 3 to 6 yards. Can we put someone on him and take him out of the game? Not sweep the leg style, but keep him covered at all times. Late in the game, the Jets have been winning by throwing deep. They will either draw a pass interference call or complete a catch. These patterns are recurring. I hope the Patriots are preparing for those situations. What are your thoughts about how we can stop the Jets' offense? And P.S., I get to go to this game. I can't wait. Good, Dan.
Good.
I actually think the linebackers have done a decent job of tackling on those kinds of plays.
Sure.
The dump offs to the backs. I don't think those have really been overly hurtful to this defense this year. I don't know how you guys feel. I can't recall too many. Darren Sproles had some plays in the late in the second half in San Diego on plays like that, but I can't recall a lot of those. I think we've done a pretty good job of tackling.
I think tackling has been an upgrade from last year, and I think mostly it's because of speed. I think they're faster on defense, and they're getting in position to make a good tackle better than they have in the past.
And I think Mayo's done a good job. I'm starting to buy into maybe that the knee was an issue all last year, and because I don't think he's great. I'm still not saying he's making plays.
Yeah, he's,
I think
he's had a much better year.
He's expanded his area of coverage where he can make a play, make a tackle.
And he has made a few tackles around the line of scrimmage or in the backfield.
He's had a much better year than he did last year. There's no question.
Sam in Chicago, what an exciting time. Question: some of the other stations yesterday brought up Branch's successful return to the Pats and why he had been released in the first place. One opinion brought up the idea that his earlier release was a result of one of the character flaws within the Patriots system, that on paper, Deion's measurables were not up to par, but what we're seeing now are the intangible player assets that could not be measured. Branch's chemistry with Brady and his general quiet leadership. His amazing moves on Thursday and his post-game comments make me brush my hair wondering why the organization let him go.
Brush your hair?
It's a great question.
I think it was just about value. It was
it's
too much
question.
Money. I still, even what he, whatever you want to say he is now, a couple touchdowns, made some nice plays, I don't think he's worth $40 million
well,
or
now,
$39 million.
But he may have been the last 4 years.
I don't think he ever was. And that's the difference.
But I understand what the emailer's point is we're talking about a lot of intangible things and how important they are and how valuable they are, but yet we didn't place a monetary value on them.
See, I think the Patriots do a pretty good job at placing a
value
on intangibles.
Look at the Red Sox with Veritek. I mean, Veritek had no other offers. Like, the Red Sox saw more in Veritek than other teams did, and so he got a better deal.
Yeah, it's a good analogy, except there's no salary cap in baseball, so you can get away with it. You could get hurt by it in football. Now, where I think the Patriots got hurt the most in defense of the Patriots here is right around the era where it changed, where you could afford to give a guy an extra million or two on the cap and not really get hurt by it. Earlier in the decade, we've gone over this many times, 03, 04, 05, you couldn't afford to be overpaying too many guys. You know, later in the decade, if you were overpaying a guy or two or three, you could get away with it because the cap was so much bigger. And that was right around the time it changed. We made the trade in 05, right?
Yep.
It was after the 05 season, correct?
I think every team, even now, make a decision when a free agent comes up. Can I replace this guy, you know, and get, you know, similar value?
And that's one thing that gets me frustrated.
Without overpaying. And a lot of times they're wrong.
But look at the
Cardinals, for crying out loud. I mean, they're a shell of the team they used to be. You know, they let all those guys go. And now they stink.
Well, I think their biggest issue is...
Well, quarterback is a big issue.
I mean, Kurt Warner retired. That's what happened to
them. But their defense
They let Dansby go. They bowled and they traded. I mean, they made some decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in that bed for one reason and one reason only. But the one thing that I...
What is that?
If Kurt Warner's playing, they're 8-3 instead of 3-8.
Oh.
I mean, let's say it the way, in that division,
I mean,
are you kidding me?
The biggest issue, but I think they also, Fred's right. I mean, they've decided to let talent go.
I think one hand had something to do with the other. I think they decided to let talent go because they knew they didn't have a quarterback and it wasn't going to matter, so they saved the money. I think it's pretty simple.
He's got a lot of thoughts on the
Cardinals.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
And the inner workings.
Yeah.
I just think in that division, they'd be 8-3 with a good quarterback.
I don't know. Sam Chai's doing a nice job.
It's a terrible team, right? It's a terrible division.
It's a terrible division. I'll
but what
you
were
that.
You saying before that? You were talking
with
about
the one thing that frustrated you said that they have a guy. I don't think it matters to them whether they have a guy that they can replace him. To me, it's
a value
thing. Once they hit that value, can't
right.
well, we can't go over that
but,
value.
But part of
this
that,
is what we think he's worth.
I know
and he wants a penny more, and
but,
I'm not going to
give
it.
But part of that value, analysis is: can we get similar production by paying less, or do we have to overpay a guy? Sometimes. You know,
they won't overpay a guy.
Sometimes they will.
And they certainly won't. To me, there's an argument to say that Deion Branch was not a number one receiver, was not an elite player, but he was being paid elite money. I mean, he got $39 million before these contracts came.
He got a lot of money.
We're still in the same ballpark with Brandon Marshall and Bolden and these guys.
He got a lot of money. Well,
whereas
they
to
got
me,
4 years for that.
Logan Mankins is, but they got seven a year, right?
But he got 6 years for $40 million. They got... he got 6 years for $40 million. They got 4 years for $40 million, right?
Oh, I thought Bolden was 4 years.
Brandon Marshall? Isn't Brandon Marshall like 4 and 48 or something like that?
I thought Bolden. I don't know Marshall's.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But I thought Bolden was 4 and 28.
Don't hold me on those numbers.
Which is $7 million a year, so
right.
$40 million for Branch. Whatever.
You might be right.
But
I might be confusing that.
It's different than Logan Mankins, where I think everyone agrees Logan Mankins is one of the top guards in the game. Wherever you have him, first, third. I'm not sure everybody places Deion Branch at the time among the three best receivers in the game or five best.
No, but
and yet
you,
he was in the
was,
financial
though.
Ballpark of that.
Right. But for
and
you,
that's
he
the
was.
Issue.
That's the thing I have issue with.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. The rest of the NFL at large didn't think of him like that.
But was he?
But you thought of him like that. And
did
you thought they were
well,
intangible
apparently
things,
they didn't.
But
that's
but
my
you
point.
You thought they were intangible. No, they tried to get him for less because they knew that on the opening he wasn't as valuable for
but
other
would
teams
he have been
as
good
he was for your
without
team.
David Givens? And Fred's going to yell at me here, but those two worked together for a significant period of time. They were a, to me in my mind,
he was
they were
pretty
a
good in 0-2 without David Givens.
He was good, yes, but with everything that comes with it, the fact that, okay, Givens is gone, what happens when Branch misses his 3 games a year with a pulled hamstring? Now I'm paying this guy $7 million a year for 13 games.
That's another element of this that I'll give the Patriots credit on, is I think they worried about his durability.
So I really don't – I mean, the player you wanted, and it was a debacle when you first lost him, but the value issue with Deion Branch, I think they were right. I don't think he was worth the money that he got.
Yeah, now to me the larger question is – and I
well,
would –
you got to have a
with
backup plan.
That,
when they make these decisions,
that's what I would
disagree
with. You got to have a backup.
And they also screwed the pooch by waiting so long. They could have had him earlier at less money.
I wouldn't disagree with you that he was not worth the value. The decision they made on value was correct.
But if you had him, would you have gone to the Super Bowl and won it? What's the value of that?
Exactly. And that's what I say. Sometimes
hindsight's 20/20.
Sometimes you have to lose some of those battles. They refuse to lose any of them.
But that's one of those butterfly effects, too. You went to the AFC title game and... we're within whatever it was, 30 seconds of potentially going to a Super Bowl with Rishay Caldwell, Jabari Gaffney.
You made it much, much harder on yourself doing it that
no,
way.
No, I know, but
it's
how different
like your
would
argument
you
that
have
you made
been?
With the Super Bowl, you know, this is a must-win game this week. Yeah, it might not be a must-win game because they can go, but it's going to be awful.
But without Jabari
road.
Gaffney, you would have been a different offense, and he turned into a pretty good player for Tom Brady
one.
Late in the year. Well, I don't know.
I do.
He was a back-to-back 100-yard guy
but
in
I
the
saw
playoffs.
The offense without Jabari Gaffney with Deion Branch. It was better. The previous year.
How many points did they put up in the AFC title game?
34.
I mean, how many more points are you
going to
get?
How many on kickoff returns? 10.
But how many more points are you going to get? I don't know. I think it's an easy argument to say, yeah, you would have gone to the Super Bowl with Deion Branch. Well, I'm not sure that's fact, using the butterfly effect theory.
It
well,
may not be if he gets hurt midway through the season.
You can't,
and you don't have Jabari Gaffney. You never signed Jabari Gaffney.
You
whatever.
Can't say,
so I think it's a difficult...
You can't say fact either way.
Right.
But you can't say it's not a fact either. It didn't happen.
I didn't.
I think
no,
it's,
I know, but you can't just say
I think
well,
it's
you
fair.
Can't say that, so it's not worth
I think it's fair to say.
In my opinion, they would have been in the Super Bowl because they wouldn't have been in Indy.
I think it's fair to say
in my
opinion,
they
would
have had to
been
on the road.
Maybe.
They wouldn't have had to go to San Diego the week before.
That's
and
certainly
they
conventional
to go to
Felger wisdom.
I think it's fair to say they'd have been a better offense with Deion Branch than Rishay Caldwell. I think that's fair to say.
Yes.
You know?
And I'm just
but
judging
the offense
on...
would have been Caldwell and Branch, right? Because Caldwell was here. Gaffney was added in October or whatever.
I think that would have been better than Caldwell and Gaffney.
We have some great arguments that just evolve
well,
out of
hypothetical.
Nowhere.
Well, you don't know.
But that's good. I mean, to
it's just funny.
To me, I would much rather talk about stuff like that that sort of requires an analysis or an opinion rather than saying, well, they won the game. You know, like, well, you can't argue. They won the game. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, it's black and white. We can't argue it.
The snuzzler in Arlington.
The snuzzler?
Pickles are not a synonym for tomatoes.
Snuzzling is probably some Urban Dictionary. But anyway, he says, none of us are emotionally prepared to lose to Rex Ryan. We need to snuzzle the Jets this weekend. We can't be going in as a wild card. We need to snuzzle them hard from the opening kickoff. Snuzzle early and often. So I probably just used some Urban Dictionary word that's really bad.
Yeah, I'm guessing. The way it was repeated so many times.
Snuzzle. But he calls himself the snuzzler. So, I don't know. Let's see. Tim from Gloucestershire, UK. Who is the biggest surprise for you this season, Chung or Hernandez? I say Chung. I know he had a good preseason, but that is still part of the season. And given where he was at the end of last year, he's turned into a key component at the heart of the secondary. Looking forward to giving the Jets what's coming to them. So
Chung.
I would agree with Andy.
Yeah, as far as surprises, Chung. I would say Chung.
Tight ends are everything we thought they'd be.
Yep.
Chung, I was ripping for winning a starting job in shorts in January.
Sure.
But now I think he's a key factor in the defense.
Lunch has arrived, courtesy of the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Thank you, James. Need to get an update on how the animal rescue is doing.
I wonder if he liked watching his cousin play against the Patriots on Thanksgiving.
Pettigrew?
Brandon.
Tight end?
Yeah. They must be related at some point down the line.
Maybe, but maybe not.
We're all related at some point.
That's true. We all came from some... Luke from Atlanta. With
from
all...
some what?
Something.
Star Wars boy.
Luke from Atlanta. With all the Jets' options in their passing game, should our secondary be looking to shut down Braylon Edwards or focus more on a heavy, consistent pass rush to take Sanchez down and flush him out of the pocket before he has time?
I don't think you're going to get a heavy, consistent pass rush, so I'd remove that from the equation.
I'm a little concerned about Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, he's...
Anybody else?
Yes. I think he's made all the difference for that offense.
Well,
he's the kind of receiver that I think would give the Patriots trouble. I think, you know, Braylon Edwards is a dangerous guy. Let's just say he's catching the football and not dropping it like he is prone to do. He's a dangerous guy, and he can beat you with big plays. But you kind of know what he's going to do. He's going to run go routes, and he's going to run deep in cuts, you know, with an occasional out sprinkled in. Santonio Holmes is a professional route runner who can make plays on all three levels of the defense, and he makes big plays. And he's consistent. Yep. He runs after the catch.
Plus,
he worries
the
me.
Patriots haven't had a ton of trouble with big plays, bombs.
I think without him, they
Holmes
wouldn't have won.
Holmes' in-cuts could absolutely tear him to shreds.
So that's my point about Braylon Edwards.
Some of these games that they're pulling out at the end, I don't think they win if they don't have Santonio Holmes there.
They don't.
You know?
Not, we saw what happened
when
they tried to
throw
a Cotri.
Not just because he made the play, but I don't think there would be anyone else that would have made the play. You know? So
he's a very good receiver. If you can take the baggage that comes with him, the suspension, the clearly he likes his wacky tabacky, he's a very good receiver. This is going to be blasphemy. I think he's a rich man's Wes Welker. I think can do a little bit more than Wes Welker does.
Oh, he's faster.
He's small, shifty, quick, but I agree with you. I think he's faster and can stretch the field, do a little bit more downfield than Welker can.
Yeah. Chris with a TIAN writes in, you guys watched the Rex Ryan yesterday, the presser. Some real funny stuff in there. Rex was asked if he'd reach out to his brother, Rob, before the Monday night showdown in Foxborough.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
He said the following, I'm not going to say a word because it could be tampering, he said with a smile. It could be this, it could be that. I don't want to get into that, but it absolutely is a yes-no question. It was very funny. I mean, I hate the Jets, but the fat man, I mean Rex Ryan, Andy, not Paul, is really great for this rivalry.
Hey.
Am I prepared to lose this game? Hell no. I mean, Monday night at home and the real chance that either a number one or number two seed at stake, I would be sick if the Patriots lost. As for Spygate 2, I agree with you guys in the way McDaniels has handled the situation. The whole lone gunman theory is despicable. I guess on top of being a snake, he really was not ready to be a head coach either. And one last note, you guys should check out the Bill Parcells documentary on NFL Network when you have some time. It was great insight into the tuna. I got to see that.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
You didn't love it, Andy. Why? Everybody else was raving about it.
I didn't think there was all that much I hadn't seen before. It was an hour and a half, which was a little long for the few nuggets that I did get out of it. And it was just okay. Not great.
Tracy in Vegas says, according to Urban Dictionary, snuzzle is a pleasant combination of snuggling and nuzzling, much like a cat does on its owner's leg. Well, that's certainly not what we want to do with the Jets, do we?
I don't think so.
No. So why would we want to snuzzle them up and down the field?
Is there an alternate meaning?
Say, snuzzler in Arlington, you're going to have to clarify what your definition of snuzzling is, because it doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, we come off as real
meows. All right, food has arrived, as I said.
Literally.
Let's give us a couple minutes to eat so we're not talking with our mouths full. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Owen from Belfast writes, and Jets coach Rex Ryan told Newsday on Monday, quote, as much as I respect and admire Bill Belichick, I came here to kick his ass, and that's the truth. That's just the way it is. So,
you guys are right. He's really toned it down.
But that's nothing different than what he's been saying.
No, I know. But
that is toning it down for him. He would have left out the part about how much he likes and respects him.
That's being a jackass.
The old Rex, last year, he would have said, I came here to kick Bill Belichick's ass.
I think he said it.
That's
all
he would
though.
Have said.
I think he said it from day one. He's respected Bill Belichick.
I think he just said.
He started out saying we have an
I'm
uphill battle.
Kiss
we
his
don't.
Ring.
They have the better coach and the better quarterback. We have an uphill battle. I think that was one of the first things he ever said.
That is one of the first things he ever said. He also said, "I'm not here to kiss his rings," which is not disrespectful.
I'm pretty
either.
Sure included in that was respect stuff.
So. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad from the Eastern Shore is on it. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Is this a sympathy call, or were you planning
this
on calling?
No. Hey, how many weeks have I called Paul? Come on.
I didn't ask that. That was Andy.
I know.
That was the big head.
No, this is not a sympathy call.
Okay, what do you got?
Something you haven't touched on yet.
And Tom and Brady is doing Uggs?
The what?
Tom Brady signing a deal to promote Uggs?
No, no. Remember, I'm not local, so I don't know that kind of stuff.
Uggs are international.
Well, I know what they are.
All the flamboyant men around the world be wearing them soon.
Along with the hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it took me a while, but I did some digging. How many of you guys remember the Charles Martin hit on Jim McMahon when he body slammed into the turf?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you know that that got him ejected, suspended for 2 games, and released at the end of the season? We have, in 2 consecutive weeks, guys sucker-punching somebody and guys getting into an actual no-helmet fist fight, and all they got was a $25,000 fine?
Well, I think that was way more heinous on McMahon.
I'm not saying that it wasn't, but I'm saying, is this where our, quote, no-touch, no-hurt-each-other rules have gotten us? That when guys do start swinging, that we give them a whole.
I think Seymour got exactly what he should have gotten. I was surprised that Johnson and Finnegan didn't get suspended, just because of the escalation of the fight. But I agree with Andy. I think that the Jim McMahon cheap shot is far different than a fight. There was a fight that, you know, can take place. Guys can lose their tempers or whatever. It's not right. I'm not excusing it. Like I said, I think Finnegan and Johnson should have been suspended.
Yeah.
And let's not be naive, by the way. Let's not be naive and try to figure out why they didn't get suspended when the Houston Texans are playing on NFL Network Thursday night.
No, I don't think they should have been suspended. They got ejected, and I think that's fine. I think they should have been ejected.
But you think a $25,000 fine? Because, see, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen if Logan Mankins low blows a defensive lineman in front of a ref?
I mean, punches somebody?
Yeah.
It should be a $25,000 fine.
But that's what I'm saying. So, therefore, okay, if that's a fine, now you get a guy ripping a guy's head off, decking him to the ground, jumping on top of him, and beating the daylights out of him. How can you say that's any worse? I mean,
who did that happen to?
No, I'm saying in the coming weeks.
Well, maybe
that would
be considered worse.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a fight between two guys that knew they were fighting.
Yeah, they were going toe-to-toe.
Right.
I think that's different.
No one was.
Whereas in your scenario, he's
away.
On top of a guy just continuing.
Well,
to...
that to me is the cowardly act in the McMahon play was that McMahon had no idea the guy right. was even there.
Oh yeah, no,
and
he
it was
came
intended
from
to injure.
Yes. No, I was looking it up to see how much of a suspension he got. I knew he got suspended, but I right. couldn't remember what it was. But the fact that's true. That was a total cheap shot. But yet, what was everybody saying about Finnegan? Is that that's all he does? That's his whole M.O.
Well,
got. For doing that was a $25,000 fine?
Well, what I was talking about with this with Paul during one of the breaks, what I think should have happened is the ref should have started calling that hands to the face that he was doing at every snap, jamming him in the helmet. I think that's why Andre Johnson was getting frustrated.
Sure.
That's the type of preventive refereeing that needs to go on to then that would prevent the later escalation of a fight. They need to call that hands to the face at the line.
And if every game is getting reviewed like we know they are now for the hits with the helmet, for all this kind of stuff, where's the NFL? And I agree, if it was Paul that said it, I couldn't quite hear. If it was Paul that said it, that, hey, they're playing on Thursday night, they want that to be a good game. If you take Andre Johnson out of the game, it's not. I totally agree. I think this is a total cave to the ratings. Now are we kind of losing what we subscribe to as a legitimate sport? You know, because now we're being, not only are we moving games to different time slots, but now we're bringing out, you know, punishments based upon who's playing who the next week.
Yeah, I'm not sure
if that's
about
the
that.
Case. I agree. But the guy's going to fight. They got ejected. I don't see you do anything more than that.
Yeah, I think the fact that they fought, that two men went toe to toe, there was no like one sided assault.
Right.
It was no cheap shot around a corner.
In hockey, you get 3 minutes.
I mean, one guy instigated it, and quite frankly, the other guy finished it. And I think that's kind of fair. That's kind of schoolyard rules a little bit.
Right, but don't you think the NFL should have been saying exactly what Fred said? Hey, Finnegan was shoving the guy in the face mask all game long. I can't help the fact that the refs didn't call it. There have been blows where they didn't get a penalty, and yet afterwards the guy gets fined $15,000, $20,000.
Right.
Well, isn't this one of those cases where somebody should step up to the plate and say exactly what you said, Andy? Hey, Finnegan deserved everything he got. But guess what? So that he doesn't keep doing this, we're going to do X.
Well, I think in the next game, I guarantee you, they'll be looking for that.
But you also would have, if you're going to suspend Finnegan, you'd also have to suspend Johnson. You couldn't suspend just Finnegan.
And they didn't suspend Johnson, in my opinion, because he's on NFL Network.
See, I think the result is part of it. I think the little bit that it kind of policed itself to some degree plays in. I think all these, the result. I think if Finnegan had instigated a fight with Johnson and while ripping his head off hurt his neck, it would have been treated differently. I think if McMahon had not been hurt, it would have been treated differently. I think if Seymour punches Roethlisberger and something happens and he misses 2 weeks, I think the result plays into it. Whether it should or shouldn't, I'm not saying, but I think the result plays into it. And the result of this was a hockey-style fight in which Andre Johnson policed his own issue.
Right. And Fred, I thought you made the quote of the year for you. The quote earlier about you're not emotionally ready, that was awesome. that was so true, diehard Patriots fan. I'm sitting in my desk and I'm going, you go, Freddie. That's the statement that we need to hear.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, Brad.
Have a great week,
thanks,
guys,
Brad.
And can't wait for Monday night.
Freddie's right. Got his people back. He's got his mojo back a little bit with that one sentence.
As soon as he said it, we both looked at that's Freddie. That's what you need. We need you in charge,
what
making comments and statements like that.
You failed us early in the year when you were
telling us
to lose.
I was okay. I was prepared to lose that game.
I'm nothing but objective. I'm very honest. Very honest.
You're nothing, all right.
I would call you a lot of things. That's probably not one.
I'm very objective about my subjectivity.
I like when he gives you
508-5. What is the number? 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Derek at the University of Arizona says, I just want to say I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I would have called, but Paul hates callers.
That's true.
And I figured I would just email. I just have a few quick questions for you. One,
for
Kyle.
You, for you?
For Kyle Arrington, he says, went back into his pass rushing role later in the game against Detroit. Ugh. Did you see anything that I didn't? Because all I saw him was dancing with the O-line.
Believe it or not, it was much better this week.
Yeah, it was an embarrassment against Diem and the Colts. I thought it was better. I thought he looked a little bit more like a speed rusher, kind of tried to get the edge, didn't really, but I thought it was a baby step, which concerns me, because if he took a baby step, it might lead Bill to say, why don't we keep trying this every week? And, you know, if he continues to progress, sometime he'll get there.
I just don't get it.
I don't
really
either.
Don't.
Let me ask you guys, should we take this as like a really bad sign for
Jermaine Cunningham
and Tully? And, you know, just we don't have the ability to get there?
Yeah.
We have to try something else?
Oh, yeah.
So we're, like, giving up?
That's not good.
No, he's trying. He's not giving up. He's
no,
still trying.
I'm talking about giving up doing it conventional.
On them being just traditional pass rushers?
Yeah. Like Cunningham, I guess, basically Cunningham is what I'm talking about.
I mean, what is the advantage of having Kyle Arrington trying to get to the pass rusher than Jermaine Cunningham or...
He's faster.
I guess.
I mean, that has to be the answer, right?
But if you want to do that, I would rather just put him in the slot as a, and blitz him rather than have him put his hand on the ground and let everybody know he's coming. Maybe the element of surprise works in your favor. But you're declaring he's a pass rusher. He's right here. He's got his arm on the got his hand in the dirt, as they say.
What do you want me to tell you?
I mean, you're not even really giving him a chance to
use
his speed.
I want a reason. I've yet to really see an explanation that even has a sliver of validity. I want someone to explain to me what about this makes it the best thing for the team.
He's a little shorter, so he has that advantage to get under tackles and a little bit of speed. Everything that the great pass rushers in Pittsburgh have. People say, how do these guys do it at 5'11"?
Yeah, but
he
has some of that power.
I'm not saying it's ideal, perfect, or even the right solution. I'm trying to give you some reason. The bottom line
is
the guy who's been in love with 6'4", 4'6", has decided 5'9", 4'5" is better or whatever.
All right, to take it to the theater of the absurd, we'll take it where the fans have taken it.
It plays in the theater of the absurd. You made a corner an outside linebacker pass rusher. No,
but
that's where it exists.
But let's take it a step further to ask PFW land, and why not Danny Woodhead on the other side?
I have no answer.
You know, just small, quick, elusive guys that maybe they can get there.
Because then you can
He's
run
He's a physical
both
guy.
I don't know.
He could tackle the quarterback.
Bill? Big balls, Perillo.
We did ask him.
Ask him again. Berate him like you're berating me. He actually made the decision. I didn't.
Am I berating him?
A little bit.
You want me to give you answers. Well, I don't have answers.
It's not like Bill hasn't made some quirky decision.
We've asked him the question. Matter of fact, Eric asked him.
Never as quirky as this.
After he's done it, we kind of figure, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, whether it's putting a lineman as a fullback or...
But those all have logical...
Right. Or a linebacker as a tight end or whatever. You know, guys in not their normal positions. But this one, just...
It ruined SPFW forever. We can never shoot down any ideas.
No, you're right, Fred. Because
I can't figure this one out.
There's a lot of things that he's done that I disagree with, and I still disagree with most of them, even though some of them have worked. You know, but you put a Dan Conley or a Richard Seymour at fullback, and you say, well, he's a big guy. He's got good feet, good legs. He get power. What is that side of it to Kyle Arrington at outside linebacker?
Speed.
He's not big enough to get by the guy. He's not...
No, he's small enough to get by the guy.
He's not gifted in experience in terms
he's not
of
gifted.
No, in terms of pass rush. I'm saying, as usual, you just
listen to the words you said
you jumped on my line.
And doesn't having him line up with his hand in the dirt negate the speed because he's too close to the guy?
Well, not
he doesn't get a chance to use that speed because the guy is
well. You can use
neutralizing
the
you
can
no,
use your speed. If you beat him, you beat him.
You can't line him up 10 yards back and expect him to get there.
Well, a little bit further back.
Why?
In the slot?
My point is, if you want to try to take advantage of his ability to maybe get to the passer, blitz him.
Right.
Maybe he can run by. Maybe he comes in untouched, like Brandon Merriweather did in Seattle a couple years ago. You know.
But maybe they want him on a tackle, not a back. And if you pull him off, he might end up on a back.
Exactly.
Because
he's shorter and faster. Explain to me why we want him on a tackle.
He's shorter and faster. Right. They think he can get under and around
gets,
him.
And he gets squished.
I didn't
like
say
grape.
It worked, but I think they think he can get under and around.
Could this be a setup for something to come?
No.
In other words, it could
the end of this experiment.
You know, no, because you know teams get used on tape to seeing him do that and say, okay, when he
drops into coverage.
No, they use him doing that, but then the one time that they are going to blitz him from his normal spot, teams are unaware because they're not used to seeing Kyle Arrington rushing from any other spot except from the outside linebacker. Maybe you know, is it a setup for something to come?
Well, I'm thinking maybe it's more of a setup to drop into coverage.
Yeah.
Send a safety, drop him into coverage.
I'm not shooting anything down. Freddie, you can come up with any one of your things on this one. I'm not going to shoot it down because I don't even see a sliver of football intelligence that this can be argued.
Yeah.
Like the whole under and other, why wouldn't you want all your pass rushes to be like that then?
Maybe they're changing the mold.
You know, you're 6 feet tall. You're too big. We want a smaller guy to get under the tackle.
That's how trends
I don't get it.
I mean, it all this is it is a training camp thing that you just try and it's kind of funny and, you know, see a guy.
And oh, by the way, he was going against backs.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we don't want him against backs when he was dominant against backs in the summer. We want to get him against a tackle.
He's berating me again. He's looking right at me and yelling at me.
I'm using
your
words.
Why don't you do this with Bill?
This is one I...
Bill answered the question. It just
Everybody
didn't make any sense.
Thank you.
Job.
So follow up.
We didn't just
berate him.
We don't just draw him up in the dirt now.
Yeah, but if you ask it might be different. He likes you and me. He doesn't like Eric.
First
so
of
much.
All,
don't.
He does not like PFW.
He
in any way, shape, or form.
When he said Andy postgame, he was smiling.
He was giddy. Kevin's a good football player.
He was smiling.
He's got good
a mere moments after winning his ninth game in 11
tries. Why was
tries
he so giddy?
Because it was a big win.
ooh, the Lions, ooh, they're
third win in 12 days.
It was a big win.
I was smiling after the game. I was excited, and I didn't do anything.
Every win from this point on is a big win.
Starts after.
Can you imagine how much more exciting it is to be there? I mean, we're on the plane, and it's cool and everything.
He was high-fiving people.
Imagine how much more exciting they are. It's their life.
But he was high-fiving, and
he was excited.
I think there were a lot of
the Lions. Ooh.
Who is he high-fiving, Andy?
Brady.
You can point to a lot of individual
reasons why.
They crossed
as they left the podium and they high-fived.
You know, he'd be happy.
They did.
About
that's accurate.
Too.
It was right in front of me.
He didn't high-five me when he said, Andy, you know, ha!
Huh. Keith in Dallas says, we need to bench Julian Edelman and bring in Taylor Price because, to me, they're the same person, except Taylor has played receiver throughout his college career and Edelman hasn't. Taylor has great speed and height and would be good in the slot to make simple catches that Julian can't make. Taylor is a healthy scratch every game this season, and I have to believe he has the knowledge of our system. And if you're arguing we need Edelman for punt returns, I think Butler and Slater can do that. Also, if you're going to develop someone like Taylor Price, wouldn't he be on the practice squad and not the active roster? And if you say that some other team might pick up Taylor, does that mean he has significant talent that can be used?
Well, yes, he has potential, just like when he was drafted in the third round for his potential.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on the Taylor Price.
No,
experiment.
I'm not. Just because he's not on the practice squad doesn't mean he's not being developed.
Yeah.
You know?
He essentially is on the practice squad, even though he's on the active roster. He hasn't played in a game.
Still being
he's playing a lot of scout team. I mean, he's a practice squad player.
You know what?
Totally different positions, by the way, with Taylor Price and Julian Edelman.
Yeah, and plus, the whole punt return, don't dismiss that because, yeah, you can just say, let's throw out, you know,
Slater and watch the ball bounce off his face.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's critical that these balls are handled so much so that you can see sometimes when it's going to be a punt inside the 10, he'll put Welker out there.
Yes.
Just because he's got better hands.
He's good with the balls.
I mean, you know.
Hey, guy.
Eric's by.
Eric is in here, all bundled up. Nanook. So we'll let him, you know, get him his clothes off.
Although you don't have a very heavy coat on.
No, it's not.
Well, it's his Beaver Creek skiing jacket.
Right.
You know how many beaver died to make that jacket?
I'll say three.
None, hopefully.
I don't know. Save a tree.
Nathan from Southern California says, the person who scares me the most in the Jets game is Darius Butler. I can't picture him stopping Edwards or Holmes. Any idea if Butler is going to play or not?
No, I don't know. Depends on whether Will Hyde is playing.
Well, plus we have to see how much we employ Kyle Arrington as, you know.
A rush end.
Our version of LT.
LaDainian Tomlinson?
Lawrence Taylor.
We're talking about the Jets, and so I figured LT this week would mean LT.
We were just talking about Kyle Arrington as a pass rusher.
Tomlinson
rush the passer? I don't know. Maybe if he played for the Pats, he would.
He'd be good because with the visor, you can't see his eyes, so you'd be uncomfortable.
He'd get under the tackle.
What's going on here? Why is my computer?
Strippers writes in, Jason LaConfora has
AKA
issued his power rankings. He's with the NFL Network. He took over for Schefter. Who do you think that he has as his number one?
Atlanta.
Wrong.
Patriots.
Wrong.
Jets.
Wrong.
Then he's an idiot.
Ravens.
Wrong.
Which Falcons? We already knew.
Falcons.
No.
I said Atlanta.
No.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
All wrong. The number one.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No. The New Orleans Saints.
Oh.
Number two are the Patriots. Number three are the Falcons. And four, ahead of the Jets at five, are the Chargers.
That's idiotic.
Well, you know.
Go f*** yourself.
We're talking
Diego.
About it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole...
You brought cold air in with you.
I got to thank Strippers, too, Freddie. He
yeah.
sent me an email over the weekend. He's worried. He's worried about me getting fired.
Cookies?
Yeah, I saw that. What was the link to the music?
It wasn't a link to music. It was a link to a newspaper story. And I guess, like, the University of Arizona, I'm sure Derek might have heard about this, their in-game entertainment people, one of the guys got fired after the game. Because they played some like Son of a Preacher Man song that was directed at Cam Newton pregame.
Ooh.
And like another one that had to do with like taking money.
He's the son of a preacher man.
And also another one that had to do with like taking money and take the money and run, I think it was.
Oh,
but
so
I
he was
know.
Really that's more I mean
yeah.
like
the other one's
factual.
Son of the Preacher, like,
right. That's a
so
factual.
Why is that
so
fireable?
So his caption was like, "Be careful, Kevin," and then sent that.
I think the kid must have said, must have told people, I'm doing this. Because I don't see how anybody sitting in the stadium hears the song playing over the radio.
Automatically
over the loudspeakers and says, oh, I see what they're doing there. They're making fun of Cam Newton. This guy must have been an idiot and told everybody, I'm going to play these songs because I'm going to make
fun of Doc and I were talking about
Cam
it. It's like, it's
that
like,
sounds like something Doc would do. Actually.
Well, it's like if the Eagles came and when the Eagles came out for warm-ups, we played Who Let the Dogs Out or something like that.
You did that?
No, no. That would be like the equivalent.
But
like,
you'd have to tell people that.
And I think more people would
I
get
think
that,
people
though.
Would get that. Yeah.
People would get
people
that would, a lot more.
If Michael
if you played that
out,
when Michael Vick ran on the field, people would get it.
Yeah. I don't think you'd get fired for that. Unless you told everybody, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Brian from Aspen, who
well,
I think sent
maybe
us
now it'll be a little
that
bit
jacket, right?
No, Bill from Vail.
Oh, Bill from Vail.
Close,
from Beaver
though.
Creek.
Same state. Right. Begins
so
with
Brian from Aspen, you owe us jackets. But anyway, I'll
and
read
Bill
your
owes us Beaver Liquors t-shirts. Beaver Creek
Brian
has a liquor
says,
store. It's called Beaver Liquors.
Settle for the beaver.
I'll get you a Bungo liquor
would.
Shirt. You want one of those?
You haven't seen a beaver in quite
all right.
some time.
Brian says it's
it
great
never
that
stops. It
I even
never
asked
stops.
Your damn Taylor Price
Beaver
question
Stadium.
And a
oh,
follow up that I,
oh, you know what,
I'm regret
to...
asking after as soon as I did.
Are you ready now, Eric?
Beaver Stadium.
I'm also, yeah, well,
okay.
You can read the email though.
All right, I'll read Brian's email first.
Beaver
it
Stadium.
Says, it's
do you prefer
great to
Beaver
have...
Stadium or Dick Stadium?
Dick Stadium. Beaver Stadium. Dick Stadium.
All right.
Stadium.
Brian says it's great to have Branch currently on our roster, but if you look
Lindsay
at the
Lindsay will be by later.
Yes, Paul, exactly.
I'm just gonna,
what you say?
Screw it.
She goes back and forth.
Go out, do it quickly, and come back.
Even I couldn't just say
Fred's getting mad. Fred's getting mad.
Are you done?
It wasn't me. It was him.
Are you done?
I am.
I'm asking you. Are you done?
Who have
I
the
am
balls
done.
To say it was us and not you. You're unbelievable.
Are you done?
I am.
Okay. Brian says, it is great to have Branch currently on our roster, but if you look at the number of games started versus games available, Branch was a bust for Seattle given his salary. Branch started 37 games in 4 years, being available for 47 of the 64 games over that time frame. Of course, there's no telling what Branch's production would have been with Brady,
exactly.
But he put up 725, 661, 412, and 437 yards from 06 through 09. Branch is a great piece of the puzzle, but he is not a true NFL number one receiver. Any chance you could preempt WEI next week? I hate waiting until Wednesday to listen to relevant commentary after these big Monday night games.
You're making my point.
We will not be on Tuesday next week.
No.
It should be.
By the way, the Comcast guys really wanted to tape Tuesday, and I said no. No way.
Yeah,
you know, I really
asked,
would like a regular time slot.
Tuesday. What?
Someone asked me about that, and I said there's no way we can do that.
Yeah.
Tell them to suck it. They move us around enough because of their college football and Celtics basketball. We can jerk them around a little
but
bit.
But I agree with the emailer. I mean, he had no idea, no way of knowing what would have happened if he had stayed. He might have played all 16 games all 4 years.
Then
he
may
have gotten hurt
it.
In the first game and never played again.
Or if he had played against the Patriots more because he had that good game when we were out
That's
there.
That's true. By the way, speaking of never playing again, Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah.
Official, he's going to retire.
Have
which is, that's unfortunate. I mean, we took a lot of shots at Ellis Hobbs. Over the years for
he
his
was a
play
good guy,
here.
Though. He always
but
with
really,
us.
Really nice guy.
Yep.
I thought he played really, really hard. But I don't think he was a great cornerback, but never want to see. I mean,
great
unlike Fred, I never want to see anybody get injured. Tick, 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 tick.
Eric.
Okay.
How you doing?
All right. So practice. We're outside today.
Yeah.
Really?
What's the matter, Andy? What?
He wants you to comment on my sweat.
Well, he has a gray and blue what is it?
Argyle.
V-neck
sweater.
You going to
call it a paisley?
I made a mistake. I misspoke.
I'm sorry. You're right.
I apologize to you.
With
a
black t-shirt underneath?
Navy blue.
Navy blue
waffle
t-shirt.
Waffle.
Waffle?
Yeah.
Is it long sleeve or short
sleeve? Most people would call it thermal, sleeve. But he calls them waffles.
And you have your Vail, Colorado
beaver
skiing
jacket.
Beaver jacket. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, because
Freddie,
it was 40 degrees
underwear for Monday.
In the 40s, I should say, in the 40s, overcast.
That's mild.
Yeah, well, depends on your perspective. Outside, grass fields, full pads for
told
a Tuesday.
Ya.
Full
Chico
pads
said
for a
it
Tuesday.
Was maybe full pads.
Quite a bit of missing, though, including Tom Brady. Jonathan Wilhite. Steve Neal. Myron Pryor. Ron Brace. Mike Wright. And our practice squad favorite, Lorenzo Washington. None of us would know if we
he's
tripped over
team,
right
never
now.
Heard of the name
oh,
before.
He's actually might be the only. No, him and Crompton. I was going to say he's the only practice squad guy
that
I would recognize.
Know?
Yeah. All the rest of them are exactly the same. They're all like 5'10.
Ross Ventrone?
180. He's on the practice squad now, huh?
The two linemen all look right. exactly alike.
Does Ventrone have the hair, too?
Yeah. Ventrone
he's
is.
About as unique looking as a
Ventrone
guy.
Ventrone is very
in
identifiable. I forgot he was back, but. Lorenzo Washington's the only big guy on the practice squad.
He actually kind of looks like Ndamukong Suh. That's kind of how I recognize him.
He does.
I've never seen him
before.
He has
like that high hairline.
High hairline. And,
I've heard of him.
Six black shirts.
Dirty Show belt goes to Bubba
2.0.
Again, yes, he's the beast. Edelman again gets a black
shirt. Who are you?
What do you mean?
Why are you acting so
Tom Brady?
We talk about, like,
before I finish that, did we talk about Andy meeting his soulmate in the locker room
today?
Oh,
yes. We haven't mentioned that.
We'll talk about that
this
after.
This is a good story, Fred.
Yeah.
So Edelman, Tracy White, and then the rest are practice squad guys. You mentioned Bubba 2.0, Tony Carter, and the two linemen, Maneri and Austin. Ah, damn it.
What's the matter? Your cookie,
cookie fell
apart?
On the console. And
that's the way they're not going to eat it now?
No, because it's dirty.
Kind of with him. You know, Fred Smirnoff's scrotum has probably been on that table.
Oh, jeez. I'm glad I ate already.
What does it say about a person who that's what he would think of?
Yeah.
Well, I think of disgusting people who use this room.
All right, so maybe you say you put
disgustingly
his feet on the console.
But I thought of the most disgusting aspect of said disgusting person.
Who have been locking all of these impure thoughts your whole life inside.
You tell me that's not the grossest thing you'd think of?
I would say he had his feet up on the desk.
His feet are grosser than his scrotum?
I didn't say that.
Thank you. Well, the game you play is you pick the grossest thing.
No,
remember the girl in PR who used to say, would you rather, and it was the grossest thing about Charlie Weiss and the grossest thing about somebody else?
Who used to say that?
I don't know. One of the PR interns
Allison?
At one point. Yeah, she was tremendous. Would you rather game.
The would you rather was a fun game.
Not lick fun Charlie game. Weiss after he was sweaty for 2 hours of practice or...
Now explain your encounter today with your...
Well, I'd rather Paul tells it. He tells a good story.
This will kill a half
Fred,
hour.
Fred, we met a new guy today, new media guy.
From Nesson. I forgot his name.
Randy?
Maybe.
No.
Okay. I'm not going to say his name because
I'm
not sure what
I'm guessing
what it was.
Cole Wright's replacement at
Nesson. Yeah, he's a guy who works for Nesson.
Yeah.
And he overheard Eric, myself, Mark Capello, sort of making fun of Andy.
Overheard Mark Capello?
We were making fun of Andy.
He wasn't even in the locker room.
You know, right. for his Bo Jackson love.
And yeah. I was saying, like, Bo stuff.
And all of a sudden, this guy's eyes just lit up like... You know, someone just told him, Christmas is coming.
Right.
You know, this look of utter enchantment.
Oh,
yeah. Enchantment.
Oh, yeah. He was
enchantment.
Enchanted.
Like, he looked at Andy,
somebody
and their eyes
my
met.
Enthusiasm for Bo.
Their eyes met, like, across a crowded floor.
Right, right.
And it was like kismet. I mean,
right.
I've never met anybody who shared my enthusiasm
that's
for Bo
really
Jackson.
That's what he said.
And that's just how he said it.
It was like, wow. If it were a man and a woman, it would be that weird, like, they have this awkward
running
line together and all of a sudden
the
through
and,
the crowded right. train station and we
Strangers
get all parted. We all parted
so that the two of them could go run and
it was it was.
And then we just start spouting off facts and memories of Bo Jackson.
It was really like a he
so
had a twin brother.
I guess we can count on some gigs for you on Nesson now.
And
huh?
they talked about it, and I think it ended up the worst day of their lives was when Bo had the two guys.
Worst moment in sports history.
Worst moment in sports history when Bo had the guy land on him and he hurt the
pulled
hip.
His hip.
And he goes to the side, and Andy says, and the guy just says, well, he's got a hip pointer. He'll be back later.
And Bo was hugging his kids, and we never saw
Did
Bo
you get
again.
Capello's email,
games.
By the way, about that other conversation we were having about.
No.
Reggie Lewis.
No.
Yeah. In the midst of this, Paul broke into a fight with Capella about Reggie Lewis. Did he or did he not use cocaine? And who testified for and against it at the trial?
This is what you people are missing in the locker room every day.
When?
Let me guess. Paul was defending Reggie Lewis.
Of course.
Yeah. It's never been proven that he did cocaine. Now, I am a rational human being, so I understand that he probably did. But it's never been proven that he did cocaine. And Capello is trying to tell me that it was proven.
Kind of. Moot point at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But he died of heart disease, cardiomyopathy. He was born with an enlarged heart, which is a very common affliction for tall, thin, African-American athletes.
Who do a lot of cocaine?
No. No. Again, I'm a rational human being,
yeah,
and I can accept
the
fact...
helps it at all.
I can accept the fact that he likely did drugs.
Okay.
But it was there was like...
Paul,
he's making up a story.
Can I tell
that's
you...
Not, that's not a fact.
I think I've told you, but...
You're not right. I don't care about your guys that know a guy who know a guy. Because I have a connection.
Lines the football guys and the basketball guys hung together.
What does that mean?
I have some firsthand knowledge.
You were there?
First my guy is.
You don't
my
have firsthand knowledge.
My guy was there. There's no reason
I know what firsthand means.
I was with him once, Reggie Lewis, and he told me specifically not to go someplace because those guys are bad news.
Right, because
now,
he was protecting you.
Well, not protecting me personally. Maybe he just, you know,
so
didn't want to be involved in
he
it.
He didn't want you to snort all the
right.
lines before he got there.
So would it be okay for me to sit there and say, well, no, I was with him, and he told me not to do it because he doesn't do it. No,
right.
I'm not
okay.
naive.
Okay.
I know we probably
right.
did it.
All right, so.
Again, I know we probably did it, but no one has ever proven it. That's all.
Okay. Anyway.
Like Len Bias, it was proven. I mean, he died of a cocaine overdose.
Right.
There's a difference.
Okay. I don't.
But back to Andy, I'll tell you, it was a heartwarming moment.
Really entertaining.
It was a heartwarming moment to listen to them then recount story after
did you guys,
story.
You know, exchange
Bo
contact
Jackson.
Info and
no,
all that.
You know, we'll keep in touch. We'll rub elbows in the locker room.
Did you friend him on Facebook?
I don't do Facebook. I'm not like you.
By the
he
way,
friended his face,
this just
though.
In from the oh. Pat Burns funeral. While the late coaches, while the late coach's ashes were being interred
good
in a miniature Stanley
today.
Cup. Someone broke into his widow's car and stole jewelry, 30 autographed jerseys, and his wallet.
When oh news God. Breaks, we break it.
I thought there was supposed to be a kinder, gentler person up in Canada.
Why did his widow have 30 autographed jerseys in her car?
Fair question.
Did she have a flea market after the funeral?
Why was his
to?
Wallet like, in the car?
Like, yeah. what the hell's know. Going
someone
on?
Someone took his wallet.
I don't know. Maybe she was had some stuff to do on eBay after the
funeral. Right.
I don't know.
Finally, he's dead. I can cash in.
I mean...
the hell is going
Matthew
on up there?
Matthew from Sterling, he's Virginia dead, says, Lindsey Petrucci did a segment on Deion Branch the other day. It was on how he was the MVP of the Super Bowl against the Panthers. Wasn't he the MVP of the Super Bowl against the Eagles?
Correct.
They should check their facts. And P.S. Fred, I think we're related. My grandmother's maiden name is Keenan from Fitchburg, Mass. You owe me 35 birthday presents.
Keenan? Yeah. You're a Keenan?
My grandmother's maiden name was Keenan, but she was from Canada.
And why does this person know that?
I've said it before. We were talking about when the Irish guys were here.
Never heard it.
Fighting Keenans of Ireland were a tough group.
Spell that with two E's or EA?
Two E's.
Two E's.
What happened to you?
Huh?
You're not a tough
I'm
group.
I'm a tough group. The bigger well, I get,
big
the more I get mistaken for a group.
A round mound, a rebound.
I don't remember you.
I've never
I don't
it.
Recall that story. You,
Grandma Keenan?
Keenan?
Yeah. I don't either. Yeah.
Was she a fighter?
She lived to 99.
She, well, she was.
She liked the sauce?
Yeah. Admiral Street, Providence.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
She used to go to Admiral Spa a lot?
We
she'd
did.
Take you to,
I,
take you there?
We'd walk down. We were two blocks from the Admiral Spa.
Yeah.
Spra.
Spra.
Admiral Spa.
We'd go down there.
Now, what is
in
the
in
Admiral
case,
Spa?
In case listeners,
is that
in
where
Rhode
you get
Island,
a, happy
a spa is a little...
Oh, a spa
is
like a convenience store.
It's a convenience
oh,
store.
Oh, a spa.
Yeah.
I thought you said spra.
I
did say spra.
Oh, I thought that was something that I didn't know what it was.
Again, I misspoke.
No, but I thought... I didn't think you misspoke. I thought I just was ignorant. No.
Biggest game of the year, we're talking about spras. Well, the two are not mutually exclusive, Paul, but
shut up.
Speaking of Ireland, Connor writes in, I think Finnegan... could have been suspended on his own if you
Speaking
factor in his past. He's widely regarded as an instigator and a dirty player.
Yep.
And needs to be taught a lesson.
I agree. And that's why I like what Andre Johnson did.
I think
did.
He kind of got taught a lesson.
Yeah, that's why I like what Andre Johnson did.
Yeah, but he didn't get him good enough. I mean, he was laughing after...
laughing with your blood on my hands.
You know. Millie in Montreal says the football stuff first.
Millie?
I have to say
Are
the Patriots defense is driving me crazy. And as for the problem of noise or lack thereof at Gillette, I got one long word for you, vuvuzelas. Just
Are those
evil
officially
thought.
Banned?
Vuvuzelas.
I don't think.
I believe
it depends on the
stadium.
I don't think
I
NFL allowed noise
banned by the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I know a lot of
so
college,
our fans are safe. They can go to any game they want. Because noisemakers are banned.
We have 68,000 plus that can go to any stadium they want.
Any time they want.
I think that was actually funny. A lot of college stadiums have banned
it.
Those recently, like the Harvard Yale game.
Yeah,
for
they
instance.
Banned them.
Yeah, I saw
they
it. Some kid
them.
Had bought like 7,000
yeah,
of them
of,
and was planning on selling them.
A lot of college places down the stretch of this season have banned those.
You know what they make out of them now?
No.
Earrings. They're recycling them because there's so many of them in the world, like it became this
Vuvuzelas?
Little...
But it has
yeah.
people saliva.
Is that where you're
they
getting
slice
your
them
for,
into tubes and they make
any?
Different size hoop earrings
Felger calls
out of them.
Felger and Maz call them vuvuzelas.
And Fred just called it something close to that.
Vuvuzela.
That's how you call it. Yeah,
Paul, vuvuzela. We actually had those damn things in the studio for Felger and Maz, and like Tony would be like, blowing it during the breaks.
Good, Kevin.
that's the kind of stuff you get in the AK-47 show.
Chris writes in the Jets.
AK-47.
That's going to leave a mark.
The Jets are working out kicker Chris Brown.
Yes, but according to, as Fred calls it, the urine stream, they will be sticking with Nick Folk for this week.
I wouldn't. He stinks.
Who just burped?
He does stink. That was not me.
That was me.
Oh.
Sorry.
Not that I just
I was
going to
say, are you really going to call me out on
really?
That? Really? You burp at least 3 times a show.
No, but it was like one of those muffled burps.
Well, I tried to hold it in, and I didn't.
Oh, okay. Jason Lockenfor explains his power rankings. He says, just to put my own spin on them, making my read slash projection based on what I've seen to this point and what I expect. It's not fair to do what you expect. Power ranking is right now at this point.
No, it is fair. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah. People put way too much stock in power rankings. He can make up his own rule. But now the guy on WBZ Radio in Boston is going to go say, Jason Lockenfor's power rankings are out. And
no, he won't. He'll just say, Pat's down to two in the power rankings.
Right.
It's not fact. Power rankings are not fact. It's like the Saints are the Super Bowl champion. You can't deny that. But they treat it the same. Saints now number one in the power rankings. Those are two very different things.
Do you think
they don't give you a trophy for the week 11 power ranking?
Do you think too much was made out of the fact of SI's Sportsman of the Year as Drew Brees? I mean, they act like this is a big honor to be their Sportsman of the Year.
It's a pretty big honor. I think it was a pretty big deal when Brady got
it. I was going to say it.
I'm just asking.
I know we're Patriots Football Weekly and all, but we made a pretty big deal out of it.
And I think he's a no shot at Tom, but because of the city and what he plays a role in that city and the team plays in that city, it's a bigger deal there.
Sure.
He has become that city. Like, you watch those NFL films, did a thing where they followed him to all his charity. I mean, that's a downtrodden city that needs a boost, and he's given them some boosts on and off the field. So I think he's every bit worthy.
Okay.
Far more than Obama with the Nobel Prize.
Craig in Ottawa says, currently San Diego and Indy are out of the playoffs. Both these teams have division games left with the team ahead of them in the standings. Which team do you feel has the best shot to win their division? Or will this be the year that Kansas City or Jacksonville pulls through? My final standings in the AFC will be 1, New England, 2, Baltimore, 3, Kansas City, 4, Indy, and then the two wild cards will be the Jets in the fifth slot and Pittsburgh in the sixth slot.
Okay. So. I would say that San Diego will beat Kansas City, and I agree that Indy, and I think San Diego will be 3, Indy will be 4, and I agree Pittsburgh will be 6.
What's Kansas City, 7-4?
They're 1, yeah.
Yeah.
They're 7-4, and San Diego 6-5.
No,
they
I'm thinking
again.
More compared to Pittsburgh.
They'd have a shot. They'd have a shot.
Yeah. I think they get a chance.
Because I don't think Pittsburgh's very good. And I'm not
sure Kansas City is either, but
see,
I think they might
Kansas
have a chance.
Kansas City impressed me this past week, and not because they beat a good team.
Jamaal Charles with the stiff arm on the goal line?
The way they won that game to me.
Pretty impressive.
I thought that would be a game that you go out to Seattle, it's a team that hasn't won. They haven't had many games, quote-unquote, that they're supposed to win, especially on the road. They went out to Seattle, which is a tough place to play, even though they're not a very good team. And they manhandled that team. I mean, that game was not anywhere near as close as the score indicated. They had a special teams breakdown for a block punt for a touchdown that made it a little bit hairy. But that was an absolute butt-kicking by Kansas City. They impressed me in that game.
Dwayne Bowe.
And it's the key
to that team in that season.
And by the way, Matt Castle?
He's still playing pretty good right now.
But you know what he's proving is he's good, not great.
Yeah.
Great is Peyton Manning. I make Jacob Tammy lead me to victory. Matt Castle is, you give me Randy Moss or you give me Dwayne Bowe playing at an elite
playing
level.
Playing at Randy Moss-like levels.
And I'll be 20-4 with my touchdowns and
you
interceptions.
You know he's got 13 touchdowns in his last 7 games?
Yes. 2 or more in 5 of the last 7. 3-2-2-2, something like that. Very impressive. 14 of the 20 touchdown passes for Castle. I mean, he's got 6 to anyone else. Another receiver.
Mark in Nova Scotia says, do you still have confidence in the young D and worry about
Mike
the
Vrabel?
Offense? This is directed to Andy.
He does have one, doesn't he?
I think he does, yeah.
Wow. What did he say? Who?
This is directed to Andy. He says, do you still have confidence in the young defense and worry about the offense? It seems the offense has righted the ship, whereas the D has really regressed over the past few weeks. There are times when I feel that the opposing quarterback is just playing pitch and catch with his receivers, and there's nothing we can do about it. Is there any hope that these guys are going to get any better?
Certainly.
Yeah,
why not?
Certainly.
I mean, you have a lot of young guys on the field making plays. If they can make those plays more consistently, if they can make more average plays and not just wait for the big play, if McCourty can be batting balls down, it doesn't always have to be a pick. Sure. And yes, the offense, I'm this close. They've shown me against some pretty good defenses. They have another pretty good defense this week. I'm this close to saying, I don't care who's on the field, they're going to move the ball and score points when they need to.
Yeah, my goal is to see Drew Weatherford about 6 or 7 times this week. You know, the big plays are great, and that they're huge. I want to see the other team's punter come on the field consistently.
Right.
And that's when I'll say that they're making the improvement. Because Andy and I had the big point counterpoint a couple of weeks ago. I just think it's a very dangerous way to play defense. I don't think you can rely on that. At some point, your offense isn't going to score 40, and your defense isn't going to turn the other team over. Then what happens?
You lose.
Well, I don't want that. I don't want to just accept that. Can't you win a game when that, you know, just by conventionally stopping
the
team?
You got a couple earlier in the year as they went through the Moss transition. The defense was making enough plays when you win 23-20. That Baltimore game, you won that game because the defense gave your offense extra chances.
That's a game that I would agree
with. How many of those you want in a year?
Okay. I didn't know one was the limit. I would agree with you. That Baltimore game was an example. The defense won the game for you.
Dave has a couple Danny Woodhead questions. First, how do you think he'll do against his old club, and do you think he has any helpful insight, or is that overrated? Also, I was watching the little piece on Patriots All Access with Woodhead and his super cute wife, and all I could think about was while he was cutting the onion, please don't cut your hand. You need to hold on to the football.
Now, Irving Fry is not here anymore. No more domestic issues.
He's got a cute wife?
I remember I told you it was like a prom picture. They both looked like they were 11.
Oh, it wasn't live? It wasn't an updated picture? What is this?
No, it was video. It was live. They could definitely pass for a high school couple. They looked that young.
Lastly, I wanted to thank you for the life-size poster of Woodhead in this week's PFW. My prediction, Patriots 20, Jets 17 in overtime.
Can you imagine, Fred? The prediction was 2017 in overtime. Could
Jets?
You imagine Fred? No, Patriots. Oh. Can you imagine Fred if we have
overtime
to go overtime?
Game? Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to get the paddles out.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'd be like that guy on Saturday Night Live from Chicago, you know, slamming my heart to get it going again.
Dicka?
Yeah.
George Wendt?
George Wendt.
But you literally would have a piece of sausage stuck in your throat.
No, I don't eat the sausage.
The popcorn. Halftime popcorn still lodged in there.
Well, that could be, yeah. Mario from San Benito.
Mario?
How
do you spell that?
Mario? If you knew they were going to win.
It's Mario.
If you knew they were going to win.
His Mario Speedwagon?
That's the correct pronunciation.
Good, Fred. Now you're learning.
Would you rather blow him out or win a close, tight game?
I'd rather blow him out.
You?
What was the question?
If you knew they were going to win.
I'd rather blow him out.
Blow him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No entertainment value?
No.
Stomp on throat.
Right over with. To me, that's entertainment. Right. Watching them.
You guys are right.
Are you not entertained?
You guys are right.
Yeah.
You guys are right.
I ended my thing today with that. That's entertaining to me.
Yeah.
Putting up big points, especially against a team you expect to compete. It's not fun to put up big points against, you know, the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's
like,
beating up on a girl.
Like when they went to Pittsburgh. You expected it was going to be close. Maybe the, you know, Pittsburgh would, but they handled
Jets
Pittsburgh.
And the blustery coach with the big mouth and his defense, everything.
Right.
Shove the ball down
his throat. Shove the down their throat.
You guys, exactly. How many times do you want me to say it? You guys,
56-3.
God, I hope that happens
again.
56-3 would be
equaling the franchise best.
Yep.
If they did that to the Jets again,
Fred, we'd still need the paddles for Fred because he'd be delirious.
Right.
No, because it would be like,
well, we might need the paddles
40,
regardless. Look at him.
It'd be 49-3, and the
if that happened,
clock would be winding down, and we wouldn't be calling timeout.
I might take my shirt off and run through the press box waving it over my head.
I'd pay to not
what
see
else,
that.
What else would it take to have that happen?
Huh?
What else would it take to have that happen?
Win the lottery, maybe?
No, I meant in the
maybe.
Game.
Oh. That's about it.
It has to be 56-3 for that to
something
happen?
Something like that. Yeah.
What if Mayo goes towards the sideline, he's covering Keller, and he's going to lay a huge hit on him, and Keller just darts out of the way, and he actually hits Rex Ryan and takes him out?
I would just laugh at that. Yeah.
Did you see Rob Ryan get hit with the ball?
Yeah.
No.
Almost yelling at a ref.
Yes.
almost
got
it right
yelling
the,
at an official, and all of a sudden the ball hits him.
Yeah.
So Mario says... How's it going? I'm ecstatic about this season. I really think this team is coming together to be something very good and dangerous. I always thought this team would be a playoff contender, but to actually have a shot at the number one seed is such a pleasant surprise. I'm loving it. I had a question for you. I've heard about how if you give Belichick extra time to prepare for an opponent, he'll come up with something to win. Mm-hmm. I know this extra time is not like having an actual bye week, and I'm also aware that the Jets have the same amount of time to prepare for us, but how much stock do you all place on the fact that we do have more than a regular week to prepare for this huge game?
Well, it's an advantage, certainly, I think, for New England.
And you have the better coach, so I understand the Jets do it. But theoretically, you have the better coach who's proven out of buys that he's a
they
pretty
have,
good guy with extra time.
The longest layoff.
So well. Do they?
I think so.
What about the Moss factor?
I think this is negated because the other team has the same amount of time.
They do have the same amount of time, but they don't have the same coach.
I'm not big on Rex Ryan. I like him. Don't love him.
I think that it's not like, for example, when we played Baltimore, when they weren't coming off a bye and we were, I thought that was a huge advantage. I don't look at it that way because both teams have had the same amount.
So you think Ryan and Belichick are equals?
No, I think that
theoretically, guy's a better coach and you give him the same amount of time, one guy will do better.
No, I think Belichick has the edge because he's a better coach, but I don't think he has a bigger edge because he has more time. He has the same. If it was a six regular 7 days in between, he'd have an edge. There's regular 11 days in between. He has an edge.
But do the
I don't think it's a bigger edge than
they know how to use
Patriots
the advantage more.
Take advantage of that better
right.
than the Jets.
That's what I.
But
think.
That's the edge that I give Belichick.
Okay,
I don't think
so.
It's
you
a,
think they do?
I don't think it's a bigger edge than if he only had 7 days to prepare. That's all I'm okay. saying. I think Belichick is a better.
It would have
coach.
The edge no matter what.
See, I think
yes.
it's exponential.
Thank
the more
you,
extra
Freddie.
Time you give him, the more it grows his advantage.
Bears, let's see. Javon writes in. He wants to
Bears.
Remind us.
Now he's just team names. He'll just inject them anyway.
He
Bears.
Wants to remind us that
cornerback. Buccaneers.
That the Patriots game with the Bears has been moved to 4:15.
Yes.
That is true.
Flexed into not quite prime time.
Also, I don't know if you guys heard, but the NFL has issued a memo to teams that
we don't read those.
It's going to go out to season ticket holders that if there is a lockout this year,
there'll be no flex scheduling.
And that you've paid for your tickets, you'll get a full refund of your tickets for any games not played.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah.
They're actually going to give you your money back
right.
for games that aren't played.
Right.
So. We'll just avoid the lawsuits and give you your money first. Like, so. Obviously.
It's the now, Christmas season.
Are they giving it immediately or when?
No, as soon as they know what the schedule will be, they'll give you your refund.
But if there's a lockout in the summer, that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be canceled
exactly.
games in November. So they're keeping the money as long as possible.
Sure.
So they'll keep it in an account and make a lot of money off it.
Well, they're supposed to teams are supposed to give a money market interest, so it's like 1% now.
Oh, so they do have to give the client interest.
Right.
Okay,
right.
good. They should.
Owen in Belfast says, did you guys see Sean Springs on ESPN First Take?
Sean?
He was arguing that Rex Ryan was the better defensive coach between him and Bill Belichick. What do you guys think? I can't believe that would be true.
What, that he would argue it or that it's actually fact?
That it would be actually fact. It can't be.
Maybe he's mad because he cut him.
I would say there's probably some sour grapes there on Sean Springs' part.
Probably.
And I'm okay with that.
But I also don't... I think Rex Ryan's deficiency to Belichick isn't so much X's and O's on defense. I think it's other areas that Belichick blows him away. I think Rex Ryan's a pretty good defensive coach.
All right. Oh, you know what? I never got to finish Derek from University of Arizona. We stopped at his Kyle Arrington question.
Now you're just randomly going back to other emails that
we
already read?
His second one.
Seahawks.
The second part of that was after 12 weeks, I assume... If you can say you know what a team is, now is the time.
It was after last week.
Some people
or 2 weeks ago.
Right. Some people say the turnovers will stop, but will they? I mean, some teams just create the turnovers, and we have now done that consistently all year. I know you can't count on a turnover, but this team seems to get them almost every game. If this D doesn't get the turnover, they lose, Jets and Browns. But to their credit, for 9 out of the 11 games, they got the job done. What are your thoughts on this topic? We talk about that.
I do think it's contagious.
Yeah. I actually think even more impressive than the turnovers they're creating are the ones they're not committing. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
They're in relative pace to set the record.
But that's easier.
For
you
fewest
control
turnovers.
That more. You have Tom Brady. You have guys that are secure with the football.
But things happen.
On defense, you don't really control the ability to create it. It takes a mistake on some level by the offense. Very few turnovers are truly created. I mean, fumbles,
Agreed.
You can get a good hit. Well, Ed Reed is in the right place, but it's still a guy underestimating Ed Reed, a quarterback saying, you know what, I can get this there and not.
Yeah, I mean, most of
that's why it's so
Ed
hard
Reed's
to do.
I mean, yeah, he's got a knack of being where he's supposed to be, but the offense still has to be reckless
right.
with the ball.
It's why Bill mocked me
turnovers.
A little bit. When Bill mocked me and said my name, which he's never said for Eric post-game, he was saying, we try to create the turnovers in the because I said
we were trying
in the second
in the
half.
We
try to create them
half,
in the first half, too, Andy. He said Andy. Eric, did you get a Eric today?
He just wanted to make sure everybody
Hell
knew who asked
no.
that stupid question.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Just
stupid,
stupid
people
who ask
questions.
And when Taylor comes back, who gets more carries, Taylor or Ben Jarvis Greenellos? Benny has made some great strides this year, and each week he seems to step up. I don't want to jinx it, but he is durable, doesn't fumble, and is a patient runner. I also like how he bulldozed Alphonso Smith into the end zone and runs
nice.
Hard after contact. We have seen Fred Taylor play well when he's healthy, though... So I am interested to see how the carries will be split.
Split.
Yeah, I think Benny gets the start, probably gets the bulk of the carries. Taylor has to work his way.
I agree.
Sort of, he needs to earn his way back.
Based on last game, I got to say that Benny is the guy, and then Taylor gets the scraps.
I still think Taylor's better.
There's no question in my mind that I think
but
Taylor's better.
As far as recovering from the injury, working his way back
in. I'm just saying, just in terms of turning a 6-yard run into a 16-yard run, I think Taylor is more talented.
I think he's definitely more talented, but I think if
Benny
Belichick
has stepped up so far this year,
I think Benny's been good lately.
If Belichick had plans to sort of switch that back to the way it was at the beginning of the season, I think he integrates Fred Taylor into the game some way on Thursday. Sure. You got to start that process. So by the middle of December, he's my guy again. So I think Benny's going to keep that lead role as long as he continues to.
Maybe he's just scared to death succeed. That Fred Taylor's going to get hurt.
Are we seeing a little bit more contribution from Morris lately?
I think we did.
See, at
the
least
last
a
game
play
or
a
two.
Game lately. He's
that's
he,
but
know.
That's been that's it. One play a game. That's it's like he makes comes in, makes a play, and he goes back.
And no
talk
big
to him
play.
Today.
Catches like one swing pass.
I mean, in previous years he would burst.
Or he gets a third and one carry.
But in previous years he would get a 34-yard carry or a 26-yard catch. Or I haven't seen those.
But he had a fourth down catch in Cleveland for like 20 yards down inside the red
zone. That was a good
play. You know, he converts a third and one against Pittsburgh. I think this week it was a swing pass on third, maybe third and one.
And he's healthy.
It's like one play.
Which he hasn't always been in his career.
But Eric talked to him today, by the way.
They made out
working
for
on
like
a Pulse
45
story.
Minutes. It was awkward.
Nothing.
From, no, he's did reading you not, emails. Did,
Bears.
It was really a little awkward because you approached him when he was still rather nude.
Well, because he had turned down reporters earlier. So I just asked him if he was
turned
had
down
time
your
to
advances?
Talk. And he said, yeah. He said, you can talk. He said, I have to get dressed because I have to hurry to get to
keep
a meeting.
Keep your eyes up here, he said.
I knew this was going to go there eventually. Yeah. I was just waiting for it.
Well, I actually looked over, and he was trying to do the subtle thing where he had the towel still on, but he's trying to jock or underwear, whatever he was pulling on.
And not surprisingly, and Fred, Andy was looking over as he was trying to take his towel off and put his jock on.
You know me well enough. The reason I was looking over was this right now, so I could make fun of Eric later.
Sure. Yeah, that's the excuse he gives. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, I hate you all.
Eric, gang. Have you ever heard the term snuzzle?
No.
Somebody, this is not a shot at you.
The
no,
snuzzler from
well,
Arlington
could be. We have no
wrote
idea
in. He said that the Patriots need to snuzzle the Jets up and down the field. So we don't
never
know what that means. Sam in Chicago, she says that
he.
Another.
No, she brushes her hair.
No, it's he.
It is?
Yeah, no, for
so he's
sure.
been
yeah,
the one that wants to meet you at a bar?
You gave her. Yeah. You gave the old Croc Dundee and got a handful of junk?
No, got a Facebook request.
Oh, you got a face full of junk?
Well, there could be another
Facebook
Sam in Chicago.
Request.
I thought Sam in Chicago was a woman.
No, it's been a ruse this whole
cross-dresser?
Time. Which we said months ago.
Oh, yeah,
we
suspected all along that Sam had a unit.
Anyway, Sam says that one definition of snuzzle is a fictitious component related to an air conditioning unit or cooler mounted on a roof of a residential home for the express purpose of distracting an individual or group of individuals. Make sure, quote, make sure you go up on the roof and oil the snuzzle every 3 months or so with a bottle of Zoom Spout.
That's a lot of effort to stop the Jets, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, the other option was it was a combination between snuggle and nuzzle, like what a cat does up against your leg.
Well,
and Fred doesn't like that.
Well,
because we're going to snuzzle the Jets.
The snuzzler writes
in. You're going to rub up against Rex Ryan's leg?
Snuff and muzzle could be snuzzle, right?
Sure.
Well, the
snuff the
that's
jets,
being a jackass.
Snot and puzzle could be snuzzle.
Could be
we could play
too,
this game all
right,
day
we
long.
Could.
The snuzzler writes in, and he says, Fred, I don't know what Urban Dictionary is talking about, but snuzzling is not snuggling. Women snuggle, but real men snuzzle. Ask anyone who has been snuzzled. Nobody is feeling warm and fuzzy about being snuzzled. Take it from the snuzzler.
So is that
boy. Does this have anything to do with a snuggie?
I think this has to do with what Andy said Fred Smirlis was doing in here.
Ooh.
No, those were Arabian goggles.
Kevin liked that.
I didn't hear him laugh through the glass, though, this time.
Oh, I did.
Oh, I did.
That could be snuzzling.
Laughing through the glass?
No, putting your thing on a thing.
Thing on a thing.
I didn't even understand his explanation, what he said you were doing. Women snuggle, but men snuzzle. It makes it sound like... Do you pretend you're snuggling and then slip it in? Like,
are you kidding me? The number
Paul's one. Not talking about what Andy just said.
The number one gutsiest call of all time is Green Bay quarterback sneak in the Ice Bowl against Dallas.
Bart Starr.
Oh, who wouldn't have gone for that? They needed like one blade of grass for the touchdown.
It was the Eric of the
what
group.
Was the
Did
score?
You see the guy in a V-neck sweater
three.
Interviewing Vince Lombardi?
They were down 17-14.
Instead of going for the...
They went for the touchdown to win the championship. I mean, I think any coach would have done that.
Instead of
Brad from Accountants did that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you got to go. I don't think that's.
All right.
What time is it? Here? It's 2 o'clock.
I was thinking that clock has been on 1:20 forever.
Yeah, we got to go. Thanks for listening today. What's coming up next? We're going to have a replay of this show because there's no John Rook.
No, because it was that damn good.
What? Where is John Rook?
Probably basketball.
No.
Probably, yeah.
Not PC, TCU in a Big East clash.
He might be, he might be covering
a
bowl
game. They're home tomorrow night. Oh, no.
There's no bowl games.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so
he might be doing.
Well, don't the bowl games start now? They have like
no.
We still, you know, the denim jeans
mid-December,
we still have conference,
mid to late December.
Conference titles to play.
What does he got?
We still get conference.
No, what is? Where is Rook though?
I have no idea. He just texted me and said that Andy and I should pick some nits, and I had to tell him that
he
we
had
weren't going to do a show.
You can do a show.
I can't do it by myself.
Why not?
He's got to get ready for high school Super Bowls. I have to do SPFW.
Well, then how would we have done a show anyway if Rook was here? If
like he did with this
around.
Show. He ignored us for the first hour and a half while typing on his laptop.
Oh, that's true.
Well, that, you know, if you are in the area this Saturday.
And would like to do a radio show.
The MIA Super Bowls are here. It's a full day of great high school football.
Is it? Who won?
Playoff
games are tonight, but the Super Bowls will be this Saturday here at Gillette Stadium. So.
You know, Everett will take on the winner of St. John's Prep New Bedford.
I think Everett's going to win.
Doesn't New Bedford suck?
New
Bedford sucks.
And just for the listeners, they'll all be televised and on the radio.
The Revolution will be televised.
We want people to come here, spend the day at Patriot Place,
buy a hot
go
dog.
To CBS Scene, do some shopping.
Right.
It's good.
You missed to the Spra.
All right, well, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.